It's The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Located on Main Street in Burlington. And by Stacey Adamski with Adamski Law. Charging no fees unless she wins for you. Now, it's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game. At 1013thegame.com. And streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon, you're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Stop it.
Well, that's what people are expecting.
That's what CJ in Burlington just texted. He's looking forward to it, so I thought I'd give him what he wanted.
3 hours of you crying about the referees. So usually this is where Arnie tells us, who's playing poker tonight? Oh, my wife's going out of town. Who's going down to RJ's? So we're just going to start crying the show.
I can't do the poker thing tonight. I'm supposed to take my wife out for her birthday.
Are we going to discuss where?
I have no idea.
So text line's open.
I'm just going to go downtown and eat off like one of the food carts or one of those things. And then what is wrong with that? Keep it casual, as I'm saying. I have no idea. What else am I going to do? Everything is crowded. You got Jazz Fest all over the place. I can't make a reservation. So what? I'm just going to walk up and down Church Street and
first world problems.
Eat one of those food cart things.
The hot dog lady isn't around anymore. That was before your time, but she was a big hit.
Yeah. One of those food truck things. Yeah. That would just be called a food truck.
No, not the truck, the cart.
Go to Beansy's.
A food cart.
Yeah, the food cart thing.
Yeah, go to Beansy's.
Beansies. Yeah. I was thinking about that, too. It's funny you mentioned that.
As Isaac says, Arnie the Romantic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
bring a candle and a match with you, and you can have a candlelight dinner at Beansy's Bus.
Actually, I had a romantic lunch plan today, but we had to come in early. I had my lunch planned at 12:55, and Brady called a meeting, so we had to come in at 1 o'clock. I had to cancel my lunch plan.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Yeah.
You know what I was doing today?
Wow, what?
I was driving Uber.
Well, look at you, big boy.
Yeah, I got some customers, and it was great.
You have a part-time job now driving for Uber?
Yeah, and with the Lake Monster starting next week, I guess that'd be a third job.
I'll say is this. One, I have two things. One is congratulations. Congratulations on your other part-time job. And two, do not complain to me anymore that you're tired or that you didn't get your nap because you're going to be driving around for Uber in the midday.
Oh, no, I'll still get my nap. I'm just going to figure out a way. That's the great thing about Uber is you just do it on your own time.
Usually you're like, if I don't get my five-hour nap after my morning shift, then I'm all upset and crabby and I don't...
He's right.
Two hours is fine.
By the way, I am going to help you out on that. Today you're going to get a comp day. We're all going to get a comp day.
Oh, cool!
Today.
Yes, it's certainly a good day for it.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll see you later.
No, you don't get to take it today. You get to use it another time.
Oh, okay. Rainy Tuesday.
Yeah, whenever you want to, because I figure if we're going to work and all the salespeople are taking today off, I figure we might as well get a comp day out of it if nobody else is going to work around here.
The salespeople are at Relay for Life.
Oh, that's what they say.
They're at an event helping people, you know, raise money and awareness for cancer.
That's their excuse this week. What's going to be next week is what I'm telling you. He is just hell bent on.
What is your deal with the sales staff here? You do realize this place doesn't exist without them.
I know that, but they don't like me.
They're all easy. Look,
you're saying they do with no ads?
They're very important. The place also doesn't exist without us.
Of course.
Exactly.
I didn't deny that.
At least give us some credit. It's a 50-50 partnership.
Well, no, let's be honest. I'm more like 80. You guys are 10 and 10.
Oh, stop.
Wow. Well, Brady, we got a busy show. What's come up on the show?
That's it.
When you walk out the door and I'm behind you, why don't you hold the door open instead of slamming it in my face? That would be nice.
Just makes these things up.
We walked out today. The front door, you're right in front of me. Instead of holding it open for me, you just let it slam into my face, and you keep walking away.
Is Arnie talking right now?
We're in the parking lot, and you'll walk right ahead of me two steps instead of waiting for me to get out of my car.
That's because I'm more important than you are.
Now, Brady, let's go ahead. What's coming up on the show
today? He's 80% of the show. You're more important than him. What happened to our nice radio marriage where it's 33%, 33%, and 33%? 33% and 1% to the intern.
Oh, because we're all working today and everybody else has got the day
off. Text line is ready to go. This lighten up.
As for what's coming up today, we will talk about the Patriots getting their rings. We'll talk about the Red Sox and Rays. The Yankees are welcoming back Didi Gregorius. But other than that, it's going to be a whole lot of opinion on Bruins and Blues. And we'll start with this one yesterday.
A little over 9.5 to go in regulation time. There's Bozak, and clicking down to the ice and shaking up on the play. Slow to get up is Achari. Meanwhile, it is Perron trying to beat one in front. They score! second goal of the game. Achari shaken up.
So Achari, Noel Achari was shaken up yesterday.
Now I'm mad again. Thanks.
Okay, here, look, I'm just going to get it out in the open exactly right now.
All right.
Bruins lose yesterday 2-1. They're down 3-2 in the Stanley Cup final. That goal ended up being the game winner. David Perron gets it. You know, about 8.5 minutes left in the game. That puts St. Louis up 2-0. All the talk, though, today is about Achari being tripped, the non-call by the referee. Steve Levy of ESPN, Arnie's buddy, my buddy, not so much Rich's buddy.
No.
But he was on Dan Patrick today, DP show 9 to noon. He explained the play in perfect clarity. If you didn't see it, here's exactly what happened.
So it's Tyler Bozak and Noel Achari of the Bruins, and Achari has the puck, and the puck's in his skates, and Bozak is going for it, and just, you know, it's a trip or it's a slew foot or it's somewhere in between, and you can even see that Bozak of the Blues has his palms in the air already ready to argue the call with the official, and the official doesn't even make the call. It was, and all the Bruins then stopped playing because it looked so egregious that it had to be a penalty called, and so play was allowed to continue on. So it was sort of twofold. There's no call. You got the one guy already complaining to the ref about being sent to the box, which isn't even happening, and then you have the Bruins sort of standing around and watching what's going on, and that allows David Perron to really beat three Boston players and score the goal, which is, you know, eventually the game-winning goal. So,
all right, okay, so
that's the way it was. Yeah.
So, yes, that's the way it was. Now,
without opinion,
802-655-6672. Text in, call in, Rich, start crying, whatever you want to do. No. Now that we've got the facts out of the way as to what actually happened, we've laid it out for everyone. Now, did that call cost the Bruins the game?
Okay, before you get to that, let's lay it out here. Let's lay the base.
We just laid it out.
Okay, let's put our opinions out there. Did it cost them the game? We'll never know because we'll never have the opportunity to go on that power play with a 1-0 deficit. I mean, I'm not trying to bail, but that's what the case is. I think the argument for you and I is going to be the same old argument where I say, yeah, they cost him the game because the score should have been 1-1 heading to overtime because the Bruins went on to score. And your argument is going to be?
exactly what you know it's going to be. The game never plays out the exact same way. The lazy argument is, well, they were down 2-0. Well, that goal shouldn't have been there for St. Louis. Boston should have gone on the power play. Maybe Boston scores to tie it, and then DeBrusk's goal maybe wins it for them. That's what the lazy argument is. But you don't know that DeBrusk scores, even if you don't know they score on the power play. You don't know any
of
that.
But DeBrusk did score, and the score should have been 1-0 when he scored that goal. This is where we have our disagreement. I think we can both agree that was a ridiculously bad
mistake. It was a missed call.
That was an awful call. Whether it cost him the game, we'll never know. I can't comment on that.
It was a missed call. That is true. So nobody here, I think, can say text line calling in, whatever. No one can say that was not a missed call. Arnie, would you agree it was a trip?
I agree it was a trip, but I agree with Steve Levy. I don't think it cost you the game. Everybody stopped playing. I came up with a saying, play through the whistle. I don't know if you ever heard of that before. If you did, I'll patent it.
You came up with that?
Well, yeah, because, you know, it goes for the NBA and it goes for the NFL. You're not supposed to stop like that. And shame on Tuukka for giving it up like that where it went under his pads. Everybody just kind of lost focus there. You're not supposed to do that. There are a lot of bad calls in every sport, in every game. You got to play through it. You don't just stop playing because it's egregious and say, well, that's got to be a penalty. You just can't stop in the middle of a basketball game or in the middle of a hockey game or in the middle of a football game.
I'll give you that.
It's bad. But, and by the way, just so you guys know, don't think that Boston hasn't been playing this way dirty for years. Since we've been doing the show for years, they're probably one of the most dirtiest teams in NHL.
Well, that's a new one. I've never heard that.
I didn't think the play by Bozak was dirty.
I just tripped him.
I thought it was a relatively incidental trip. It was a penalty, but I thought it was incidental.
It's not that I'm saying that play was dirty. I'm just saying when, you know, you see all these, where you're getting hit
karma?
In the head or where you're, no, when you're getting hit in the jaw or they're complaining about some of the hits out there now. That's what you get when you're a dirty team for the last 3-4 years. And I'm not the only person to say that.
That's funny. I've never heard that about the Bruins. Every team's dirty in their own way.
It's only Brad Marchand, not the Bruins.
It's absolutely
Marchand. It was on Twitter on the post game show. They put it on Twitter, I believe.
Ridiculous.
A couple of the hockey guys were talking about it. And he goes, you make the bed, now you sleep in it. But look, it was one call that was missed. That's not going to define what's happened in the five games up to now. You got to play through that, and you don't stop playing.
No,
Rich.
But it defined that game last night, the outcome of the game.
Only because they stopped playing.
I'm not saying the Bruins would have won in overtime. I'm not saying the Bruins would have scored a power play goal to make it 1-1 and then won it to make it 2-1. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying it was a trip. The whistle should have been blown. The Bruins go on the power play. They scored later, and whether or not they scored on the power play isn't the thing, because you could just that's just guesswork. But the fact is that game should have been 1-1 and heading to overtime.
Look, it didn't cost them the game. You can't say that. And I hate that I always have to talk to the fanboys about this. And you know what? I might be guilty of it, too, if it happened to my team. But because it's not my team, I'm able to sit back rationally and just tell you how you're supposed to be looking at this. Take off the black and gold colored glasses and examine this logically. The Bruins outshot them, 18-7 in the first period?
Yes.
Had multiple chances to score in the first period, weren't able to do it. They had a wide-open net for McAvoy on a one-on-one with the goaltender. He missed it wide to the right. Johansson had a backhand shot in front of the net that he got no power on, and he missed it wide. They had 51 minutes before that play
but that
yesterday.
Doesn't mean, what does that have to do with anything,
They had multiple chances.
Yeah, so they did it for breaking down the game. I agree with you 100%, yes, but that doesn't take away from a bad call, though.
They had multiple chances for that call not to make any difference at all. They could have buried that game in the first period and been done with it.
You're right, that's all true, but that doesn't mean that you're allowed, just because you blew chances, doesn't mean a bad call is going to be okay. Well, that's sufficient.
No. This is like saying Stanley and Schiraldi should have pitched their way and gotten that save in game six, but instead it's all Buckner's fault. I mean, this is what we choose. All we're going to remember, if the Bruins lose this Stanley Cup, all we're going to remember is that call.
Arnie, I don't know how you went from on my side to against me here.
But just because you had your chance to win the game doesn't mean what happened to you still doesn't hurt or isn't true.
It is
true. You could have won the game maybe 10-0 or 10-1. That's beside the fact, though. You didn't, and that was a bad call. Those are the facts, though. Yeah,
it is a bad call. It should have been a penalty. What I'm saying is that one call, one play, never decides the outcome of a game. If that had happened in the first period with 17 minutes left and led to a goal, you wouldn't be coming in here and saying it cost them the game today. It's because of when it happened that you're bothered by it. They had 51 minutes before that to make that call render it obsolete because they could have been up 3-4 before any of this happened.
If that call had happened and the Blues scored it to make it 2-0 in the first period, it would have made absolutely just as much of a difference. I mean, the fact that it was the third period made it even harder of a pill to swallow, but who cares when that happens during the game? That'll never happen. If the Blues score a goal in the first period on a blatant missed call like that, that still hurts. 2-0 changed the whole game. That was it, basically.
Let's get to some of the listeners. Tom Fertitta texts on Isaac. It didn't cost them the game, but it certainly didn't help.
Okay.
What happens when a call goes for the Bruins that was a borderline call or just a bad call and you get a 2-minute penalty out of it? Nobody says anything there also. Frank and Crown Point.
Sure they would. The team they're playing would say something about it.
Didn't necessarily cost them the game, but did allow a goal to occur. No, it didn't even allow the goal to occur.
Sure it did, because the play would have stopped right on the spot.
Yeah, no, the players don't stop. If the players don't stop, then...
Right, but if the refs do their job on that play, there's a whistle, and play is stopped, and it's 1-0 with a pad. Bruins going on the power play.
But even if the refs don't do their job like they didn't, that doesn't mean you could stop and give up a goal. And my son did that a long time, and I got on his case. He got run into, and I said, don't you ever stop and complain to the ref if they don't blow the whistle. And he gave up a goal. I go, don't you ever do that.
Well, the fact that Achari is in concussion protocol may have had something to do with why he didn't do much after that hit. So, right. I mean, really?
Rams fan Ralph, one New Orleans Saints fan's crying towel for Mr. Boston.
Yeah. All right, did he see Brady picking up his sixth ring, by the way, yesterday? Just wondering.
Ouch. Well, that's what you do when you anger Rich. Look, I agree with Steve Levy right here. Again, Steve Levy of ESPN, he was on Dan Patrick's show today. He says it quickly, clearly, succinctly.
A lot of, when I'm talking about the call, I get it. Boston was dominant in the first period. This game should have been over in the first period. I think they outshot them, outshot St. Louis 18-7.
It should have been over.
Yep. So I get that.
So therefore, it did not cost you the game. Look, and the same thing, when we talk about the NFC title game, we talk about the defensive pass interference, Rams and Saints. Yes, it was defensive pass interference. But when the Saints blow a double-digit lead in the first quarter and have multiple chances to ice the game long before that, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, but that's not America today.
That's like Rich got his wallet stolen. Oh, I'm sorry, Rich, but you shouldn't be out at 2 o'clock in the morning.
True.
Then.
No, that's not the same.
Why not? It's not the same. Rich, you shouldn't be in a bad area at 2 in the morning. So, you know, that's what you get.
Sort of the same.
It totally
it's all circumstantial.
Absolutely.
It's where, what you put your situation in. And the situation the Bruins put themselves in by doing absolutely nothing offensively last night as far as scoring, they put themselves in a tough spot.
It's like saying when a defensive player in baseball makes an error and you lose 1-0, but hey, you left the bases loaded every other inning of the game. It's not the defender's fault that you lost. It's the 8 times you left the bases loaded.
I get that angle. I get it. It's just that it's just more convenient in this day and age to talk about the ground ball through Buckner's legs and referees' miscalls. What about the San Jose hand pass that cost St. Louis a game earlier in the playoffs?
And what's so interesting is that you defend Buckner and blame it on Stanley and Schiraldi until the cows come home. Yes, it was
Vegas, San Jose.
San Jose, Vegas. Yes, but go ahead. The hand pass.
The hand pass was San Jose, St. Louis. The four minute major was with Vegas.
Well, there was also a hand pass San Jose, game 6 in San Jose, Vegas.
Okay. Anyway, as you were saying, I get your point on Buckner.
You don't.
It's just easier.
Yes, but you don't blame Buckner, and you get on everybody who blames Buckner, and here you are doing the equivalent thing cost him the game when it didn't.
This is what you asked me to start the show. Let's talk about that play. I'm talking about it. Sure, I completely agree with you that there was a lot of other crap that the Bruins didn't do to put themselves in a position to make that non-call cost them the game. I mean, understand it. That first line did absolutely well. They had a bunch of shots, but mostly we're not talking about Jordan Binnington, who had the game of his life last night. There's a lot of other stuff to talk about, but right now, look at the text line. It's blowing up. All they want to talk about is the refs.
Ty in Canada, I love how Boston fans completely forget the top line went 0-4 again.
Yep.
And the rookie goalie who had Richard all but written off after game 3 came into Boston and stole a win in game 5 with 38 saves, several from point blank range. Yep.
He was great last night, no question about it, especially in that first period.
What's interesting is that most people on the text line seem to be agreeing with me and Arnie that while it is a bad call, there are multiple other things to be upset about if you're a Bruins fan. First line didn't score. Second line has done nothing this entire series until DeBrusque's goal yesterday in the third period. They've done nothing. The hitting has been more intense for St. Louis, although it was relatively even yesterday in terms of number of hits. The Bruins, they outshot St. Louis by nearly 20 and couldn't muster anything offensively to get through the net. They did nothing on the power play. Those are things that most people on our text line are agreeing are bigger issues than that call.
Eric says Arnie's absolutely wrong. The Blues are historically up there with the Blackhawks as far as being dirty, and is one of the worst officiated postseasons in the NHL I've seen in 25 years. And I've watched a lot of hockey, Eric is saying. Steve says bad call, but the BS basically got the Bruins basically got outplayed, having trouble getting the puck out of their own zone. They need to score first. Well, that's always said. You know, you could say that about anything. Well said, Brady. Arnie, go soak your head. Anthony in Essex Junction again.
That's just because Anthony, I don't even know if he really likes us, Rich, or if he just hates Arnie to that point where everything we do is considered.
Yeah, he just makes stuff up now. He says, Brady, you're right for the next 3 hours before the show even starts.
802-655-6672. I want somebody to call in and tell me that they agree with Rich that call cost them the game.
Wait a minute. I never said that call cost them the game. When have you heard those words out of my mouth?
I believe it about 3:04.
But Brady, I want to ask you, when is the last time it cost them a goal? In our lifetime that we remember a game where the officials, really cost them. And then we're going to say what the Rams-Saints game is. Because there's only been one I could really remember that was so egregious officiating that, to me, it sticks with me today. And Rich will, you know, confirm this about the United States Olympic basketball team.
72?
72, three times.
It's the most egregious thing ever in sports.
Now, that's being ripped off. Now, you could say, well, what happened when we missed a layup early in the game, or we did this, or we gave up this? But to throw the ball inbound three different times.
No, that was clearly, there was an agenda there.
Yes, the fix was in. Yeah. But that's the only time, and even in the Saints-Rams game, okay, you had a missed call. I don't even know if that, influenced the game. But that one did, not bothered. That's the only game I can remember.
I saw all the comparisons to last night's call with the Saints game. That's ridiculous. That missed call by the referee in the Saints-Rams game literally cost, that was it. That was the end of the game. That was the end of the Saints season. That call last night didn't end the Bruins season.
Yeah, but you don't know if they get into the end zone or score after that, so that's not necessarily true,
though. Ian Fitzsimmons of ESPN Radio, he didn't agree with you. Richie thinks he thinks this is exactly the same as that.
You're going to be light in the wallet a little bit. You're going to be fined, but it's worth every penny because it was egregious. Yeah, I mean, it was just picture Rams, Saints, NFC Championship game, and the DPI, defensive pass interference, that was not called. Now, the Saints have many opportunities after that to win that game. People always forget that aspect of it. But that call, that one missed call, changed the rule in the National Football League. How that official missed that tripping call 5 yards, not even five yards from him, but it was awful. And in some sick, twisted way, this could actually be good for hockey because more people will be going to be talking about hockey.
Absolutely. That's the way it is now in this country. It's all about clickbait, and that play last night was clickbait. All the Bruins spending 57 minutes unable to score doesn't create clickbait.
Can we maybe see it from the official side where maybe he said, hey, the guy went swinging at the puck. Yes, he got him in the skates, and I kind of let it go because he went for the puck, and the puck was by the skates, or is that just... Boy, ridiculous.
To me, that was just... This isn't the Bruins guy in me. That's textbook tripping.
He didn't call it for a reason, Brady. He didn't just miss it. He saw it. He probably just said, look, the puck was by his skates. I'm going to let that one go.
They talked about how... I was reading in The Athletic. They talked about the only real defense is possibly that because the official was behind the two skaters, you couldn't quite see that it was the trip, and it didn't... You know, it looked more incidental. It looked like this or that or the other. But bottom line, they were calling out the official...
Well, the fans got it.
They were calling out the official's positioning more so than anything else.
And it was interesting that Bruce Cassidy, I was a little surprised he went off on that call as much as he did, but he also brought up a good point. He said, look, I'm a hockey fan. This isn't the only one. There have been tons of them. There's that big blow to the head of Johansson. The guy's going to get a suspension for it. Most likely it didn't even get called. There was the hand pass. There was so much stuff. The Vegas situation, as you said. And Milo in North Troy says, why are you not talking about the other missed calls, like blatant elbows to the head? Cassidy's point is that what's going on with my game that I love? Because the refs stink all of a sudden. Not just last night, but every game.
If I give Brady an hour, he can come up with all the missed calls in the NBA playoffs. I'll take the NFL playoffs. You could have baseball playoffs. And we could, you know, somebody had a great comment. They go, this is makeup for Deniker, the baseball official who ripped off the
card. Oh, Don Denkinger.
This is karma for that.
Yeah, but that had nothing to do with Boston, but you're right. That was a St. Louis situation.
So they're saying it's even now.
Look, let's take a break. Let's get into what Bruce Cassidy said, and we'll talk about that.
All right, you want to get in 802-655-6672. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
They call him the stinking genius, but is he really that smart?
Yeah.
Find out what Arnie is thinking next on the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, that game. Beautiful Friday out there. Beautiful.
Man.
Beautiful. Put out an email, Brady, would you please, to the salespeople. I'd like to talk to them at 6:15 today.
Yeah, except
that. Make sure they come in at 6:15.
Instead, they're saving lives.
Except that's not really under my jurisdiction. Yelling at salespeople, I can yell at them, but they don't have to listen.
Wow. Still waiting for that Patrick Sharp phone number. I'm going to hold my breath on that.
I've offered you an email and you've turned it down. What do you want me to say? Just stop being passive aggressive and just say, Brady, give me the email, or Brady, email the guy for me. But instead, you're waiting for a phone number to come about that I don't have.
Let's get to the mistake of the day.
Mistake of the day, you can get in.
Good job. He moved on.
Not really.
It never happened.
unlike the Bruins and their fans.
Wow.
Keep in mind, this is only game five. They've got two more chances.
802-655-6672. You can get in. Mistake of the day, thanks to Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and corporate gifts. Get your company noticed with your company logo on shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, blankets, and more with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. Bruce Cassidy really holding nothing back yesterday in the post-game press conference.
Listen, we thought we got screwed, but you got to keep playing. We did. We scored the next goal, gave ourselves a chance to win. So we tried to rally around that, but moving forward, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, you're in the moment, of course, you're upset. But I think players, once they get back on the ice, they're not too concerned about that. So that's the way it finished. I thought we responded well. You know, we pushed to score. We did. We pushed again. We gave up some odd man rushes as a result. Made the next save to keep us in it. Unfortunately, we couldn't get it by him in the end.
Now there, Bruce Cassidy sounds like he's taking the high road for the most part. He continued on, though, with the officiating.
Their player's on his way to the box. I mean, they're the only. It's right in front of the official. It's a slew foot. Our guy's gone. The spotter took him out of the game for a possible concussion. I mean, it's blatant. It had a big effect on the game. It's the National Hockey League getting a black eye with their officiating this playoffs.
I like that Bruce Cassidy did this. I'm usually not in for crying about the officials. I'm really not. I think it's I think you generally just need to so what, next play, move on, next game, move on. But if Berube's going to do it after game three and it's going to, you know, in Cassidy's mind, make a difference in how the game's being officiated, well, then at least, hey, shoot your shot. You're at the you're at the end of the line here. Shoot your shot.
Wait. Then if you're good if you're good with that, then you're good with everybody else saying it. So who was it, Cam Neely that threw the whatever he threw?
He threw his water bottle.
He should have thrown the water bottle on the ice.
No,
then.
I'm not good with, I'm not good with vandalizing the arena.
He threw his water. You don't think that was okay where Cam Neely tossed his water, you know.
Why not?
Got the coach,
he's not hurting anyone.
Threw his water bottle in his own box.
The coach crying. You got the GM crying. I mean, you got the fans crying. Where's the owner? How come he didn't throw stuff on the ice? Everybody can't cry. Come on now.
I'm okay with Cassidy shooting his shot here at the end of the season. I mean, why not take a shot and put it in the officials' ear? It's the same thing that coaches do before games. When coaches in the NFL go up to officials and say, hey, watch out for 25, the defensive back. He gets awfully handsy there. Just watch for that.
Right. Big difference.
But big difference between saying it
like that and crying about it onto the media.
You're putting it in the officials' heads. You're putting it in the NHL's heads that we think there's something going wrong here. Whether it's true or not true, you got to shoot your shot. You got maybe one game left in the season. And as far as fan conduct goes, no, I'm not for throwing anything. When the Blues were walking off the ice yesterday and you were watching the NBC broadcast, there was like a 17-year-old kid giving the finger to the Blues as they walk by. Like, you're a loser.
Right.
Like, you are
a life.
You are a loser.
I agree.
You are not funny. You are not cool. You are a loser. If you threw something on the ice yesterday in protest, you are a loser. Okay? For Cassidy to do it, shoot your shot. For fans to throw things on the ice, you are losers.
But there's nothing wrong with... Why is there something wrong with Cam Neely hurting no one by... Guess what I did when that second goal went in?
No,
basically the same thing. I didn't hurt anybody.
No, well, you see...
I may need a new television.
But. Can you just imagine... If a call goes against the Patriots and Brady takes his helmet and slams it down, and then Belichick takes his computer and slams it down, and Robert Kraft picks something up and he slams it down.
Better not, because that's 15 yards.
I mean, it's just, it's going to be like, it's comedy. Then everybody's like, come on.
This is
now.
After the game. I didn't say he went out and tried to fist fight the ref.
No, I didn't say that. Well, first of all, Cam Neely's was done in a luxury box.
It's not hurting anyone.
On time, you know what I mean? During right when it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was hissed off about that. The only reason the other guys next to him didn't do anything is because they let Cam take all yell all the abuse.
I don't
out
understand
there.
Why you're so upset about that. He's in his own private box.
I know that, but you know, you're supposed to go ahead and kind of have a little bit more decorum. You're supposed to act a little bit above that. You know what I mean? You are the general manager. You could say something about it, but...
I love it.
You did
exactly what I did.
So where's the line of demarcation? When Jerry Jones slams his fist on the ground, on the desk, that's okay, but Cam Neely's not? Like,
well, if Jerry Jones does the same thing, I'd probably say, get away from the field. What are you doing down there acting like a fool?
I mean, if you're throwing
something.
Stuff on the field, it's a different story. What's Cam Neely hurting by throwing a water bottle in a luxury suite to no one.
Milo says Pierre Maguire was speechless.
Yes.
Speechless about the...
I think it was about the call.
About the call or the water bottle?
I don't know. The sound was down for much of it. So, but I don't know. I have no problem with what Cam Neely did.
I have no problem with what Cam Neely did. I have no problem with what Bruce Cassidy said. But now the challenge for the Bruins is how quick can they turn it over? Because, look, you heard people talking about it yesterday. It was Torrey Krug after the game. It was Achari after the game who said these calls were missed. I think Bergeron said it was a call. The call had a big effect on the game. Fine, 20 minutes after the game ends. You're asking emotional players to give emotional responses in an emotional time. That's fine. Now, when we start seeing the sound that's come out of media availability today, it better be, hey, how can we move on to game six, not focus on game five? Because if they go into Sunday focused on the rearview mirror and not the windshield, their season's going to be over.
It is. It's going to be over in the first period. I agree. It's funny because everybody says Buckner cost him a World Series. Not only did he not cost him that game, but that wasn't the end of the World Series. That made it 3-3. They had to go out and blow a 3-0 lead in Game 7. You see this all the time. That situation last night sucked, but guess what? There's a game to play Sunday in St. Louis where the roof is going to be blowing off.
Oh, let me tell you something. If you're a lifelong Blues fan, the cheapest seat just to get you in there. I don't even know if you get a seat. It might be a standing room. I saw something for $2,275.
Yeah, it'll be nuts.
Yeah, that's not going to be a good seat.
No, but my point is that it's not over. You know, you've got to go out there and figure out a way somehow to win the game on Sunday, and then just, this is the ultimate for the Bruins, and I hate that phrase, but taking it one game at a time. You absolutely have no choice. You got to take it one shift at a time at this point.
Arnie's three favorite things now: one, betting lines; two, ticket prices; and three, ratings. In any order that you want. He
and
loves
hammering salespeople.
I'm always curious to see if a Blues fan or any fan wants to go, you know, lifelong fan, their team hasn't won, if they'd spend like $2,500 a ticket or something like that. That's crazy.
The one good moment of the game for Bruins fans really came before the game.
On defense, in his 21st season, for Trenčín Slovakia, number 33, Zdeno
Chara! Nice.
That was a lengthy standing ovation for Chara yesterday, who did play. Per our conversation yesterday, it could have gone a lot of different ways. Chara played more, Rich, I think, than you were expecting.
Yeah, I thought there'd be probably 12, 13, 15 at most. I think he played 18.
Well, he played a lot of minutes. He played close to his normal load of minutes. Didn't factor in the game really much on either side. Did take some shots, took a couple of hits, didn't score, didn't give up a goal.
Was on the ice on that first goal.
Yeah, it wasn't that. Yeah. I mean, that's not his fault.
No,
that
it wasn't his fault. It was the other defender on that side.
McAvoy. Beautiful pass, by the way, between the legs
that went in front of McAvoy.
Pass. Absolutely. So nothing Chara did yesterday, one way or the other. I'm happy for that, really. I'm happy that it didn't come down to Chara blowing something that cost him the game. I'm happy we're talking about the refs and not Chara and should he have played yesterday, to be honest with you.
By the way, Ty in Canada mentions Brett Hull has to be added to that list as you're looking at right now of giant losers.
Then Brett Hull's a loser too. He's giving the finger to the team.
Well, there's the picture. Thank you, Ty. What an idiot!
I'm sort of the
grown man.
Even though he didn't factor, well, you just real quick, buddy, on what's his face that had his mouth wide, Chara.
He did not have his mouth wide.
Who did that? You know, the one thing about that is maybe I was wrong. I'm thinking because even though he didn't factor in the game. He played good defense, I thought, but the other person they could have used was Backes, right?
Yes, I thought the same thing.
And I'm thinking,
of all the people, I can't believe I'm saying this.
And this guy played, what, 5-6 years with the Blues?
He was their captain.
He was their captain, so...
I didn't get that at all.
You would think that if there was extra incentive, if you're looking for that oomph, you know, because you're short a guy, I think maybe I would have used him maybe to give an emotional push. Did you see him up there watching the game?
Yes.
Oh, man, you're talking about bitter beer face.
I don't blame him. He has a million reasons to want to be in that game. One is he's the former captain of the Blues, as we've talked about. Look, I've been trashing this guy for the last 3 years. He's been a useless signing. Wow. But he's shown some signs of life. He's done really well in the playoffs when they've let him play. And he was exactly what they need against a very, very physical team.
Yeah, I mean, that's the answer, Rich. And Arnie, I think I disagree with you on the fact where you say, oh, he would have given him an emotional lift. Chara gave him the emotional lift, okay? Chara playing is the ultimate emotional lift.
I didn't mean the team. Okay. I meant like him scoring.
Okay.
Because he's going to play hard against his former team.
Okay, and Boston, you know, if anyone's owed anything emotionally, it is Chara over Backes, because Chara's been there forever, it seems like, and Backes has been there for just a small handful of years.
Do you want to hurt Chara or 100% Backes, though?
Look, I said yesterday I didn't think it was the best thing for Chara to play, but I'm saying if you're just going on emotionally who's going to lift up the team better in their performance, it's going to be Chara given the fact that he's been a Bruin forever. But that's beside the point. Rich is right that if the one thing the Bruins have needed to match in this series is physicality and intensity, that's the one place where Backes really, really shines. I was surprised to see him out also.
If you look at the Tough Fair Tire text line, Ty in Canada sent in the picture of
Brett Hull.
Yeah, what
it's
was
like
that?
We just talked about.
Yeah, I know
just
that. Right, that. I know it. That's what I'm saying. What did he do, though? I know you said that, but that's what did he do to give him the finger, though?
I don't know. Brett Hull's giving the finger at the ice. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, that's what I didn't understand about the story. It's like he gave him the finger, but then you didn't tell me why he gave him the finger. You just left it at that.
I don't know. Probably because it's the Bruins playing the Blues.
And he's a former Blue.
Yeah, but I thought he was doing something for the game. Was he not? Is he not doing any reporting?
Looks like he's just a fan sitting near the front.
I thought he was doing some reporting. If he's doing some reporting, you shouldn't be doing stuff like that. Well, right, that's a little out of line there.
But the Backes thing is weird. I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm looking at who did what last night. A guy like Danton Heinen, who's done virtually nothing in the last couple of weeks. You know, he had one shot on goal, no points. You just wonder, and I'm not saying Backes would have gone in there and gotten eight shots and two goals, but it would have changed perhaps the way St. Louis was able to out-physical them, although I didn't feel like they really did last night. The hits seemed like they were pretty even.
The hits were even pretty much number-wise, but in this series, I mean, going into yesterday, you knew that the focus was going to be on physicality, intensity, and that's where Backus can help. So it was surprising, and again, you knew by dressing Chara and having to dress a seventh defenseman to cover up for Chara, you were going to lose something, and Backus is what you lost yesterday. So for all you people that wanted Chara to play yesterday, I'm happy for you that he got out there and that he didn't cost you the game, but having him out there cost you something. It cost you Backus and his physicality. So was it worth it? Maybe, maybe not, but that's what happened.
I'm not going to say it cost you offensively because they had a lot of chances. They just couldn't put it in. But they did have a lot of chances.
Yeah, Bennington, that first period, man, everyone's just screaming at their TVs. Like, just put the damn puck past him. Couldn't get it by him. He made a lot of easy saves that just hit him in the chest. But he had a lot of kick saves and a beauty.
What did you think of I think it was the second period. What did you think of the one that they reviewed where Krejci was trying to poke at it in? That was very, very close to going over. Now, Arnie, I don't know the rules as well as you do as far as being in the crease and when the goalie's kind of got it, can you keep poking at him? But it was very, very close when they reviewed it to being over that line.
The problem with that for me was that you couldn't call that a goal because you'd never really had a glimpse of the puck.
Right, exactly.
You were making an assumption that since the goalie was falling back into the net and had possession of the puck, that the puck must be over the line. But there was at no point could you ever see the puck on that call.
We needed the side shot.
They also had one. Tuukka had one like that also that I'm pretty sure was a goal.
It was close.
And, well, I'm pretty sure it was, but you couldn't see it. So
right, you can't change a call if you can't see the puck. You can make an assumption, but you can't change the call because of that assumption.
802-655-6672 if you want to get in. They said what's coming up next. You're in the huddle. What do I point to?
Wait, what did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On the Huddle, 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, The Game. Beautiful Friday out there. We just saw a sales guy.
He showed up. He wanted to let you know he was in the building.
He was in the building because he just showed up today, coming into work. He was probably sleeping till about 3 o'clock. I'm here. I'm making my appearance. Yeah, because it's 3:45 and you're about to take your weekend. Yeah. Don't you supposed to work till 5 o'clock? You know what? I'll see the sales guy at 5 o'clock. I don't want him leaving.
I want to see you do one day of sales and hear your first rejection and see how that goes.
I've done sales. What are you talking? I've done sales here. When my wife used to be here, I used to go on sales calls.
We do those one-day sales here late in the November?
Yeah.
And I get like 9 people again saying, you're kidding, right?
Yeah. I don't go
why are you calling me for sales? It's because they just think it's a joke because I'm the one calling them.
Well, hey.
Hurts, man.
Rejection stinks.
Well,
but
6 of them in a row hurts.
Well,
sounds like my high school dating career.
The nice big commission they get off the one success has to be okay.
Yeah. I guess if you're willing to stick at it, but I would just cower in the corner after about 5 or 6 rejections. I don't take no very well.
Gosh.
It's sort of like my sports teams.
Yeah, I can imagine. The people at WEEI are saying yesterday was the worst missed call in the history of Boston sports.
Ooh.
You can't tell me there's something worse than that. And by the way, the tuck rule, which went in your benefit, might have been worse than that yesterday.
I was gonna say
Ed Armbruster in the 75 World Series. That was a big one.
A 76 Patriots call, which I don't know.
Against Oakland, I think it was.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't born in 76. I'm just reading.
I'm trying to think. That'd be a good one for the text line. The worst call that went against a Boston sports team in history.
I'm only focused on the ones that have gone for Boston, which has been quite a bit.
Every one. Every single one.
Tim Tashita's call on Chuck Knoblauch's mile-wide tag on Jose Offerman. Completing a heartbreaking double play that shouldn't have counted. Nomar was on deck, and they went on to lose the series.
In what year
is this? The 99 ALCS.
Okay. Clemens got tossed in 1990 in the ALCS rather quickly, I remember, which was one of them. So.
But the one to me that comes to mind that was clearly just an agenda was the 72 Olympics that Arnie mentioned.
Yeah, that didn't go against Boston.
That was beyond suspicious.
Oh, you think so, Rich? Yeah. You think so, huh?
All right, let's get to They Said What.
Unbelievable.
They said what?
How about Steve Levy, ESPN, NHL insider, longtime SportsCenter anchor, Arnie's buddy?
Yes.
Supposedly, even though he never calls him back.
He was at my wedding.
Yeah, but he doesn't call you back anymore.
He doesn't, I know.
He was on the Dan Patrick Show today. He was talking about why yesterday is a big deal for the NHL, and it highlights an even bigger deal about the lack of officiating depth.
This is a big deal, Dan, and I'll tell you, you don't want to get too deep into the officiating because I'm not sure how many people are actually interested. Yeah. The NHL has a depth issue at the official, at the referee spot, and they've kind of done it to themselves because of some awful mistakes in earlier rounds. They have put great referees on the bench. So they've iced these guys, and so they're way down their depth chart by the time they get to the Stanley Cup final. And so you're seeing referees in the Stanley Cup final who otherwise would not be calling these games.
What do you think of that? So the fact that there were some missed calls early in the playoffs, so they were taken, guys were taken out of being able to advance up into further rounds, and now you're being left with a not the top of the cream of the crop.
I'll tell you, if they did that in the regular season that way, there'd be no refs left by the end of the first month. I mean, that's amazing. I assume the hand pass people are probably long gone, and the Vegas people are gone.
Could you imagine if you had no Stanley Cups and this happened to you? Like my wife, who's a Sabres fan, she already texted in, the skate in the crease, the skate. Caused him the game.
Speaking of Brett Hull.
That's why I thought it had something to do with that. He actually had to skate in the crease, and they scored, and the game was over, and the series was over. So,
poor Buffalo.
I mean, you figure that out. Could you imagine if that happened, if this call was against the Bruins, and it finished the game in the series?
Yeah.
It'd take a whole different spin on that one, Brady.
Yes, it would take a whole different spin, but that's not the case because Boston does seem to get the benefit of most of those kind of calls, so it doesn't matter as much. But so back to Steve Levy's original point in that, I don't know what the right answer. I think the right answer to this is easier said than done. You need more really, really good officials, so that way if you get rid of four or five, there's four or five other really great ones that can continue to step in. But if your top four or five are 90%, 90% grades, and the next guys are 65% grades, well, when you bump out all the 90s and you're left with 65 in the final, that's a bad look. You need a lot more 90s in the course of your league.
No, it's a good point. If a guy makes 38 right calls but misses a big one like the hand pass or whatever, he's gone. So the guy making 95%, it's basically what you just said. So you're weaning out all of the good refs because they made one mistake, and by the time the playoffs are over, there's nobody left.
And you understand why leagues do this. The NFL does this also, that, and Gene Steratore has said this, we had on, remember, we had the former Jim Diapolis, the former NFL head of officiating, who said, guys are not just, Arnie asked what makeup calls are those things really? He said, no, because we get graded in our ability, our grades dictate whether we can move on and do playoff games and therefore get more exposure and therefore get more money. So these guys aren't missing calls on purpose. These guys aren't not calling things because they don't want to. They're trying to get the calls right. You need more guys that are good and qualified and are capable of making those calls, so that way you have more people that are in the pool to get moved up.
I'm wondering if my kid doesn't make the NHL, if he should be an NHL official. What do you think about that?
Does he want things thrown at him, and do you want to get death threats for him?
Wow. Is it really that bad?
Yes.
Wait a minute. You would think they live a good life. They make good money. They travel first class.
They travel a lot. They better travel first class. Well,
I don't know the whole thing, but it's not like they work every day. It's like they work one game. I think they can only work like three games a week or something like that. It's like firemen, 2 days on, when they offer something like
they
that.
They make up to $300,000 a year. So they do make good money.
That's pretty good money.
They do make good money in the NHL, but I don't know if it would be worth the verbal abuse that you would take.
We don't know really officials by name in hockey like we do in the other sports. I think we know them a little bit more, and they're a little bit more recognizable. I don't know. I just a thought. I mean, if you're not going to play, it might be something good to get into. That's pretty good.
They said what?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Please tell me you did.
No, actually, I didn't. But Colin Cowherd talking on the Herd, noon to three on before us, thinking about the NBA Finals as we get ready for Game 4. He says, did you see Steph Curry in Game 3, 47 points? They lost. And he goes, Kyrie Irving, are you sure you really want to leave and go to a place like Brooklyn?
And Kyrie Irving, you want to leave all that talent, Brad Stevens, that arena, that history, go play by yourself in Brooklyn? Oh, that's adorable. Kevin Durant, you want to go to New York, play with Kevin Knox? That's just cute. But Colin, they could play together. So what? Steph Curry had Draymond Green, Iggy, Steve Kerr at home. Not like Steph was out there with a bunch of scrubs. Draymond Green's going to be a Hall of Famer. game wasn't competitive at home.
So Colin says, you want to be the man. You saw what being the man looks like, being a one-man band. Steph Curry was great, 47 points, played, you know, not a flawless game, but a pretty darn good game considering what was missing from his lineup. He goes, the game wasn't that close. Yeah. Kyrie, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, but the only bad thing of that type of thinking is then you're saying that Kevin Durant will never be happy other than Golden State, where he's got a great team and great team members and just, you know, awesome teammates where they can help him and like three Hall of Famers. Because any other of the 30-plus teams is going to be miserable for him. And that can't be true. Sometimes, you know, it's, again, maybe you can turn around another team. Maybe you go to New York and be happy. Maybe he could have been happy in Oklahoma City if it wasn't for Westbrook. It doesn't have to be at Golden State right. Just because they're a great team.
No, but a place like Boston, I would think it would be appealing even if Kyrie pulls out because there's a base there of very good young players. Tatum, Brown, Rozier to a point if he stays, which it sounds like he's not going to, but we'll see. I mean, there are certain places he can go and still be the number one star, but still be good. I'm talking about Boston as opposed to a New York.
Well, what Colin's saying is it's something to think about. Everybody talks about wanting to be the man. Kyrie, remember, he wanted to get out of LeBron's shadow. He wanted to be the man. You want to be the guy who gets the credit when things are going well and the guy who wears it when things aren't going well. A lot of people want that Superman mentality, but do you really want it when you see what it looks like from the other side, when you're Steph Curry and it's 47 points and you're doing everything and there's nobody there really to help you out or you're playing without multiple key pieces around you, no Klay Thompson, no Looney, no Durant, you see that being the man isn't all that fun. It's physically and mentally and emotionally exhausting and you don't have a great chance to win. He goes, I caution guys like Kyrie and Durant to actually be rooting for that kind of team situation. Colin said, Kyrie, you'd be crazy to leave Boston, who is armed with all of those things, the coach, the arena, the history, the passionate fan base, and the good teammates. Because you'd be wise to stay there.
You meant Golden State. Tom Fair.
No, I'm talking about Kyrie and Boston.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Kevin Durant. My bad. 802-655-6672. Though, to be the man, everybody wants that last shot. So Kevin Durant wants the last shot. He wants to be the man. Steph Curry wants to be the man. Klay Thompson wants to be the man. You know, Kyrie wants to be the man. They all want to be the man.
But do you want the last shot for their team's 18th win of the season in, you know, in March or April?
Brady's going to tell you what's trending. Then we'll get to the top four and four. Get you ready for hour two. You're in the huddle. What a 1.3 the game.
1.3 the game. All right, so you have an Amazon Echo. Just ask your Echo device to enable 101.3 The Game. Then anytime you want to listen, just say, open 101.3 The Game. The huddle is back on 101.3 The Game.
Everybody, you're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Friday out there. Hope you're enjoying it.
Well, it's supposed to be a great weekend.
It looks fantastic.
Finally. Boy, do we deserve this.
It's only going to start to rain when my brother gets here on Thursday. And it's going to rain the whole time he's here.
I hope not, because the Lake Monsters start Friday.
That's right.
Lake Monsters Media Day coming up next week.
Monday, that's right.
I'm excited about that as well. Tuesday, I think.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Well, you're we're sending you to cover it. So
I'll just go both days.
No midday nap for you. No Uber driving for you. Exactly. You're going to have to go cover the Lake
Monsters. There it is. Tuesday, 1 p.m. Okay.
Hey, let's put Brady on the spot. I want to ask him a question. We'll see if he'll give us an answer. Our consultant put out an article about fill-in host, and they said using listeners is sometimes a good thing. Which one of our listeners would be the best fill-in host? And you better give us one name, Brady, because you've done the podcast with so many of them. Will Brady give us one name, or will we go, they would all be great fill-in
hosts? Travis and Milton.
Oh, look at that. Really? He gave us a name. Wow, look at that.
Why is that?
He's angry. He's angry and hates Arnie, but right. He's got strong opinions.
Really?
Yeah.
So he'd be the best to fill in if everyone was a listener.
Travis and Milton could do it. He does get a little bit wishy-washy on some things, but he has a strong opinion that he hates Arnie. So okay. I think if I were, or Rich were gone, he'd be great with you to just argue with you.
Would any of other listeners be good on the air?
Matt in Jeffersonville was excellent.
Yeah,
we should bring him in for my cult camp week.
So we actually have a lot of them that'd be pretty good.
Yeah,
then, huh?
We have a lot of people that would be good listeners. I mean, I can't remember everyone who I've done one with off the top of my head, but Matt in Jeffersonville was excellent. Ty in Canada was excellent also.
All right. And one other one. I'll give you a baseball one. I just saw this the other day. I was going to use this for Last Story Standing, but I might as well get it out of the way now. Tuesday night, the Trenton Thunder Nice. Going up against the Yard Dogs.
The Yard Goats.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah, the Hartford Yard Goats.
3-0 game, went out in the bottom of the ninth. There's a no-hitter. And the Thunder laid down a bunt.
That's a huge
It caused
no-no.
A brawl.
What was the score?
3-0
Okay, then yeah, that's weak.
3-0 Lays down a bunt, yeah. Beats it out, gets a single out of it, starts a brawl. 3-0 I don't know, man. You're still in the game. You want to get two runners on.
Nah, that's weak.
A no-hitter.
Another unwritten rule? Another one?
In the minor leagues especially, that's a no-no.
Why? There's a difference between... Wait, there is a caveat to this. It wasn't a true no-hitter. It was a...
Several pitchers
combined.
Oh, all right. Lessens it to me a lot.
Doesn't that lessen that? Come on now.
It doesn't change it completely because I think that's Bush League to do that.
Now, that's not a real no-hitter.
But if you have multiple pitchers throwing a no-hitter, doesn't that kind of kill the whole thing?
Yes.
Well, in the minor leagues, you're not going to get too many guys that are not going to throw 142 pitches to do it.
I get that, but doesn't that change it a little for you?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's still Bush League.
I don't even consider that a no-hitter. I wouldn't even put that as a no-hitter.
And I guarantee you, the first time next year that Arnie's kid doesn't start in hockey and the guy gets lifted up to the first period and Arnie's kid comes in and Arnie says, oh, my kid got the win. And we say, no, that's not a real win. Yeah. He didn't play the whole game.
That's the rules there. You know, baseball, you come in, the relief pitcher.
It's still a no-hitter.
Who gets credit for the no-hitter?
The team. It's a team no-hitter.
That's no good. If you're not getting credit for it yourself, what difference does it make?
It's a team no-hitter.
Yeah, that's not nearly as sexy as a one-person no-hitter.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not getting the money from the lottery ticket, who cares?
By the way, now on day three, I'm really, really irritated by the computer setup here.
I sat down there this morning, and it's tough. You get it, your neck starts to hurt after a while.
The fact that I can't see Arnie anymore is bothering me.
That bothers you?
I have to lean way down to try to talk to Arnie. It's like I'm ordering at a deli where I've got to where I've got the table and then just this giant thing above me, and I've got to put my elbows down at the table and talk to the person through the little hole.
Why in the world would you ever want to look at Arnie?
Yeah, isn't it
enough just to listen to him?
Or like I'm at the bank where I have to put my elbows down on the counter and then talk into that little microphone and try to tilt my head to be able to get to them. That's what this is like. I have a pinched nerve in my neck and now I'm leaning all over the place trying to get to him.
You pitching this weekend, by the way?
If I can get over this pinched nerve,
That's why I brought it up.
The injury.
Yeah. So it'll be... physical therapist, 802-655-6672. How can I get this pinched nerve better in the next day and a half?
And of course, we're still looking for candlelight romantic dinners for Arnie's wife. What is it? Birthday? Anniversary? Birthday.
It's her 30th birthday.
It's her 30th birthday. Good for you, Arnie.
Thank you.
Wow.
Unwritten rules are a joke, says Jason. It's old school baseball fans with so many unwritten rules that hold the sport back. Oh, yeah, I hate this whole unwritten rule thing also. Okay. Well, I totally believe that.
And that's
also
why Jason wouldn't be a good fill-in host right there.
Why? Look at that there.
Cross that name off the list.
One more. CJ says you can erase a 3-0 deficit with one swing. Bunting to get a guy on is completely fair. And I agree with him 100%. You guys are ridiculous.
He
bunted to get a hit. I can't believe it.
How about you just hit a single through the middle? How about that?
I couldn't do it. I had no hits up to that.
I say that, but then the other side of me says, why doesn't everyone in Major League Baseball bunt to every left-handed hitter to the left side of the infield and hit 490, which is what they'd hit if they would just lay down bunts every time?
Well, that's also not true either. And that's why Rich wouldn't be a good fill-in host.
It drives me nuts. They got the whole left side of the infield available, and they're still trying to pull the ball.
Hit them where they ain't. Hit it where they
ain't.
Absolutely. Who was that? Pee Wee Reese, right?
Yeah, that's exactly why I got a scholarship to play in college, because I hit to the opposite field. It's really simple.
It's really simple when the pitchers are throwing 69 miles an hour.
Those were their fastballs.
It's really simple
when they're throwing 71 with
no curveball. It was amazing to me. It's like they just – it's like, guys, you know where I'm going to hit it. Why don't you play over there? But they wouldn't.
What about and then they'd have to shift the other way, and you would. Yeah. It would be so easy to just pull it the other way.
Why can't you hit it to the left side of the infield if they're putting a shift like that, your left-handed bat? Why can't you just slide it down if you got one guy covering the whole left side? That's ridiculous.
When they throw 98 miles an hour, they throw it completely under your hands. I'd like to see you try to just fist it the other way. I'd really like to see
every
it.
Obviously, if you're in a situation like that, the pitcher's got to understand you got to throw inside to a left-hander if the left side is open.
All right, Brady, let's get to the top 4-4.
I didn't realize I was going to have to coach baseball today,
We've got 3 hours of show to cover every day, but here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top 4-4 on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Wait, real quick, Jason says you wouldn't want me as a guest host because I'm pro Arnie on most topics, and you guys don't want to handle the additional heat. Bravo.
We actually love Arnie. We play the role on the air that we don't.
Come on the podcast, Jason. Let's try you out.
Number four.
Red Sox Rays this weekend, Fenway Park. It's a four-game series, a doubleheader on Saturday. Tonight's game, 6:10. We have it for you on 101.3 The Game. Rick Porcello is on the mound after a less-than-stellar outing last weekend against the Yankees. And our buddy Tom Caron.
TC.
TC on the call. So if you're driving around, give TC a listen. He said, he already texted me today, and he said, I expect a full critique during Tuesday's interview spot with us. So we got to listen to TC and grade him out so we can talk to him on Tuesday about
it. Maybe you kind of like that. Goes, oh, this one's hit deep. No, the second baseman has it.
Maybe he'll call us out.
Shout us out?
Yeah, well, I think maybe a St. Mike's mention. Maybe, you know, what's the name of his kid's band again?
Can't Spun remember. House.
Spun House.
TC's really impressed with me, by the way, right now because he texted me to say, hey, I'm on the call for all four games. Looking forward to talking about it Tuesday. He said, hey, you did a great job last year in Toronto. And I proceeded to give him the game story of what happened last year without looking it up. And he's like, in his mind, I know he was very, very impressed with the fact that I knew exactly the one wow. game he called last year. I had it completely in my head.
You could tell us the game story right now. We won't remember in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So well, difference.
They're catching the Tampa at a good time. Plus, it's home. Hopefully, they can take two out of three. They've been playing.
They're playing
real
four.
Well.
So hopefully,
I mean, Tyler Glasnow is obviously that's a huge injury. So they're obviously missing him. He's been out for a while, and he's been Cy Young material for his first 8 or 9 starts before he went down. They do get stuck with Blake Snell, who has been sort of up and down this year. I mean, he was just, I don't know if it was, is he a one-year wonder or what the deal is, but I would have loved to have avoided him, but instead Erod's going up against him in the Sunday afternoon game.
Well, and Snell was the Cy Young winner last year, been injured a bit this year, so he's struggling as well. So four-game series at Fenway Park. Again, we'll have all the games for you on 101.3 The Game. And Arnie, I'm looking forward to hearing TC.
I was going to say, why are the Rays catching them at a good time? They've won two in a row. And
well,
six
Rich
of the
is
last,
saying because Glasnow has hurt and he's
yeah,
been hurt
six
for
the
last
of the
couple.
Last 10, and but also because Tampa got off to a great start and they've went down a little bit, but they've kind of, you know, weathered the storm right
you
now.
You know, I noticed that you haven't asked us, are we sure no one's going to win this division other than the Red Sox
yeah,
and the
I
Yankees?
Yeah, I stopped asking that one now.
Yeah, you stopped doing that because the Yankees are ahead now. So.
I still wouldn't mind having money on Tampa, though, for the rest of the year.
Sox would do well to win this. You know, they can't win the series unless they go, you know, 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 4. I think as long... If they could take 3 out of 4 and put up one game on Tampa, that would be an incredible weekend. I don't like these four-game series.
3 out of 4, you take 2 games.
Yes. If they could pick up 2 games, then they could go... If they could go 3 out of 4 in the series, they'd pick up 2 games in the standings, which is what we would ultimately love. That would be the perfect weekend for
them.
Yeah,
it cuts it... Well, they're 5.5, so they... Or they're 5 games, excuse me, so... Get it down to 3, much more manageable. Yeah, that close to get. If they get all 4, can you believe that? Then they're 1 game behind. That's
I'm not
be awesome.
Going that far. Okay, yeah. I'm not going that far yet. Though they are coming off the 3-game sweep of the Kansas City Royals. Top 4 at 4 in the huddle. 1.3 The Game.
Number 3.
The Yankees are taking on the Indians tonight. They're in Cleveland, and the Yankees are going to welcome back Didi Gregorius. And you know what? I hate the Yankees. I very much love Didi Gregorius. I love watching this guy play. The joy that he plays with, his energy is contagious. It's infectious. He can hit for power. He's funny on social media. For a Yankees organization that we have always associated with being very, very stodgy and earn your pinstripes, Didi Gregorius is someone who breaks through that mold. He cuts through that mold. He's funny. He's engaging. He's got a good personality. He keeps his teammates light. I like watching him play. I hope he comes back and has no ill effects from the Tommy John surgery. I hope he can play defense, you know, capably whenever he's out there. I know he can hit for power, so I'm looking forward to seeing Didi back out there.
What about the pressure on him when he joined the team? He didn't have to replace an icon or anything.
Yeah, trying to replace Derek Jeter.
Could you imagine the pressure of replacing somebody like Derek Jeter? We're not just talking about an icon. We're talking Jeter. You're, one of the most popular Yankees. I mean... Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, I don't know, they're people not, you know, they're not around anymore, but gosh, he was so loved, and you had to replace this guy.
And Didi came in as part of a 3-team trade when he was, you know, he's kind of changed exactly who he is as a player. He was a light-hitting defensive infielder, and now he's a guy who, in the course of a full season, can hit 20-25 home runs, steal some bases, he's an athletic defender. I love watching Didi play. The other interesting piece of news for the Yankees is that we reported that we had heard the reports, you know, on Wednesday, that the Yankees were close to getting Dallas Keuchel.
Right.
They end up not getting him. He goes to Atlanta. Do you think the Yankees missed out big time in not getting Keuchel?
I don't know if they, what, it was just too expensive or something like that. They say they want to pay that money.
Well, they were looking, I mean, he only got $13 million for the rest of the year. They were off by $2 million was the report.
Well, maybe they, well, I, first of all, they're probably just saying, you know, we'll weather the ship, we'll be fine without him. We don't really have to go in that direction. And probably had a second thoughts. Maybe there was something that we don't know about, but, you know, I'm not sure why they didn't really go with them.
I think the Yankees missed out on Keuchel for the regular season. I don't think that he is a, I don't think he's a difference maker at this point right now for his career for the Yankees in the playoffs, but for a rotation that has all kinds of questions, when you look at Sabathia's durability and age, when you look at Paxton's injury history, when you look at Tanaka's elbow and Severino, we don't know if he's going to come back and how he's going to be, and Herman's on an innings limit. So you start to think all these guys for the Yankees that have question marks about them. I would have loved Keuchel to be there as a depth piece. I don't think he carries them to a World Series if he's there, but I do think they missed out.
No, but they're clearly on their way to the playoffs, or as of right now, no question, unless they completely fall off the cliff when all the regulars get back. But I think there's something to be said for a guy with a relatively, well, a very rested arm late in the season, especially when you've been in that rotation. You've got all these guys with injury concerns, and of course, Severino is a huge question mark.
But do you believe that Keuchel is, I mean, do you believe that Keuchel won the Cy Young winner, was a Cy Young winner 5 years ago? Do
it feels
you believe
like he's that Evaldi, guy anymore? Feels like an Evaldi pickup to me. You know, just it's not the same kind of pitcher, but
no, it's not the same kind of pitcher. Look, here's what I don't like about Keuchel. He's a contact pitcher in a strikeout league playing in a small ballpark. That's it. Okay. Yep. He's going to throw 89 to 91 miles an hour, throw a lot of changeups. He is a pitcher, and trust me, as a guy who threw slow, I appreciate that. But this is a strikeout league. This is a miss bats league, and he is not that. So I expect there will be a game or two for Atlanta where he goes seven strong innings with no runs, and there will be a game or two for Atlanta where he goes three and a third and gets knocked around for seven runs. Both are going to happen. So I don't think the Yankees missed out for the playoffs, but in terms of just depth for their rotation for the regular season, that's where I think they missed out.
So he'll be sort of that 7-6, 4.60 Rick Porcello-ish sort of guy.
At some point, yeah.
You mentioned, Didi replacing Derek Jeter. I feel sorry for the poor sap that's going to have to replace Tom Brady. Can you imagine if it's somebody like Baker Mayfield who goes like, I don't care who this Tom guy is. I'm the quarterback now for the Patriots. We do it my way or something like. Can you imagine? And I want to wear number 12.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, we're going to see a lot of 12s in Patriots uniforms in the future.
Can you imagine that type of attitude? I feel sorry for the poor sap replacing him.
Well, it could be Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah. If it's a Baker Mayfield attitude, I'd love it. But you're going to have to suck up to Tom like you wouldn't believe. Oh, he's the best ever.
It's like Clint Frazier asking for number 7. Guess what? That's not
happening.
That's
not true. But
sorry, son.
But if he ever did, if that was true, we'd be, oh, gosh.
Top 4-4 in the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number 2.
Speaking of Tom Brady, speaking of the Patriots, the Pats picked up their Super Bowl championship rings last night. This is how it sounded at Robert Kraft's house for the big party.
On behalf of my entire family, I want to welcome you to my home. I want to kick off the night with a toast. Before the Super Bowl, my friend Jay-Z, he had such confidence that we were going to win that he sent us 100 bottles of the Ace of Spades champagne for our after party.
And then
sounds like he got started early.
I was gonna say, there's only 95 left for some reason.
He said that he saved some of them for the party last night. So Patriots picked up their Super Bowl rings. You can find the video and the sights and sounds of it all at 1013thegame.com. A lot of old faces came back for it. Trey Flowers was there. Eric Rowe was there. Guys that aren't Patriots anymore. And we're going to talk about this in the 5 o'clock hour, 1 hour from now. Ryan Flores was there also, the now head coach of the Miami Dolphins, but he was the de facto defensive coordinator for the Patriots last year. He was there too. If I were a Dolphins fan, I'd actually have a major issue with that, Arnie. I don't know how you feel about it, but I have an issue with that as a Dolphin fan.
We'll get to that later on.
Yeah, we'll get to that in an hour.
By the way, it is a pretty pretty ring. It is nice, though, isn't it?
They're getting a little more out of control, aren't they?
You can buy a replica six-pack of Patriot rings on Amazon for $50.
Nice.
And it comes with its own case and everything.
Free delivery.
It's actually very, very cool.
We should buy some and sell them as the real thing.
Can you imagine going out to a bar with wearing that? You'd be in a brawl in about 30 seconds.
Have you ever put on a Super Bowl ring?
Of course
I
not.
Have.
No.
Yeah,
you
sure
have?
You have. Yeah.
Have you? Well, it was Fuzzy Thurston's ring, but I don't think it's a... Yeah, it is Super Bowl. Thurston. Yeah, fuzzy throat. I have the picture of me drinking a Coors Light with the guy. I have it framed.
And that's the last beer that Arnie's ever had.
I was in the Packermobile helmet thing. It was awesome. It was a great time. Well, and Fuzzy Thurston and Herb Adderley. That's what you guys, yeah.
I've had both a World Series ring and a Super Bowl ring on, but they weren't players' editions. They were ones that went to members of the organization. So I tried on a Seahawks ring from 2013. That was Jen Mueller, who covers the Seahawks for the media and worked for Seahawks.com. She got one. I tried hers on. And then a buddy of mine worked for the Yankees back in 2009, so I tried on his World Series ring. Those are less ornate than the ones they give the players, but yes, I have had on a Super Bowl ring and a World Series ring.
And there's a viral video of Tom Brady getting ready with Giselle as he drives his vehicle with Giselle in it into the ring ceremony. And if I'm a Patriots hater, which 90% of the nation is, that stuff would just drive me nuts.
And how about Tom Brady beating David Andrews in a beer-chugging contest yesterday, since everything is about how fast you can chug beer these days.
Yeah, what is up going on with that?
Yeah, he's done.
Brady beat David Andrews in less than two. He beat the offensive lineman. He did it in like 2.3 seconds or something. He finished the beer.
I'm surprised Brady put that into his body.
Me too.
I'm not a chugger. I can't do that.
Oh, neither can I.
I was never a chugger of beer. I can't do that.
Aaron Rodgers was slow and he didn't even finish. Aaron Rodgers would double me. I'm so bad at chugging.
I can't do that either.
I'm about quantity over speed.
Yeah, that's not me.
Are you a beer chugger?
I used to be. I don't do it very often anymore. Not the beer part, but the chug.
In college, when you
play
quarters.
Some would say that my pace is almost chug-like.
Okay, well, so it's good.
On good nights.
Fast pace, but I can't do it all in one gulp. Top four in the huddle. Top four and four in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Number one.
Well, everybody's crying about it. Everybody's complaining about it. And now the Bruins are down 3-2 in the best of 7 Stanley Cup Final. Here's the game-winning goal, the one shrouded in controversy.
A little over 9.5 to go in regulation time. Oh, and there's Bozak, and clicking down to the ice and shaking up on the play. Slow to get up is Achari. Meanwhile, it is Perron trying to keep one in front. They score! It is Perron who has gotten the second goal of the game. Achari shaken up.
Well, Achari was...
Listen to that angry mob.
Noel Achari was shaken up because he was tripped by Tyler Bozak. There was no call on the play. It leads to a goal by David Perron of the Blues. That put him up 2-0 at the time. B scored late but couldn't get the equalizer. They lose 2-1, and now their backs are against the wall, Rich.
They are, and it's funny because it's all we're talking about, or all anybody's talking about, is that non-tripping call. But the fact is that was game 5, and I'm not at all convinced the Bruins can't go to St. Louis, despite the fact that the roof is going to be blown off that place, and take game 6 and bring it back to Boston. My thought on it, a horrible missed call, and the goal should not have happened because the whistle should have blown immediately, and that would have been a 2-minute power play with the Bruins trailing 1-0. The place that you and I will always differ is the fact that the Bruins scored a few minutes later to make it what should have been a 1-1 game going into overtime.
What about the fact that Achari was down on the play? He's in concussion protocol. He was taken off the ice. What about the fact that he went down on the play and was clearly shaken up? Should they have stopped the play then because Achari was hurt?
I don't know, because that's such a 50-50 thing.
No, answer is no, they can't do that.
No, you can't, but because, well, that's the Bruin in me saying, you know, the Bruins fan in me saying.
They can't do that because then the...
Because if it's at center, if it's at neutral ice and they're scrambling for the puck, maybe. But you know what? I'll go along with that. You can't stop a play where there's a blatant scoring opportunity. But the fact is that scoring opportunity never should have developed.
What was the play, because I'm confused now, where the Bruin guy was being held? They were, he was holding onto a stick, and he was screaming, hey, what's going on here? Yeah. And that led to it. You know what I'm talking about? Gosh.
Now, Craig Berube certainly got into the ears of those refs after, what was it, game 3?
Yeah, after game 3. Rich, the reason why he can't stop with Achari being injured is because, and they covered this on the NBC broadcast too, when the team has the puck in their own offensive zone, they can't stop the play for an injury like that, because then you just get players taking dives all the time.
Yes, exactly.
Just the same way, you know, in football, nobody likes when, hey, we're running a no-huddle offense, now we're going to fake an injury just to get everybody to stop and slow down. You can't do that, because then it would have just led to, you know, people just taking dives, pretending to be hurt, just to halt action.
But we can agree that was a tripping call missed.
It was a tripping call missed. I do not believe it cost the Bruins the game, which most Bruin fans seem to believe that it did cost them the game.
There's no way of knowing, because it never got a chance to play out with a 1-1 overtime game. And plus the fact that they were denied a power play for 2 minutes with a 1-0 deficit.
I just look at it and say the Bruins outshot them by 11 in the first period, 18-7. They had multiple scoring chances. They had scoring chances late. McAvoy missed an open net. Johansson missed an open net. Tuukka, the goal even that scored on that play was a pretty soft goal. Arnie, you're the king of goalie judgments. That was a soft goal by Tuukka that he allowed. The Bruins did nothing on the power play.
Because he stopped, too. He stopped also, and you can't do that. Not when you're the goalie.
And the first and second lines did nothing. I look at it and say, yes, that call was egregious, but it never should have come down to that because the Bruins had multiple chances. And I'm sorry, these are NHL players. If you need every single call to go your way, then that's a problem. You should be able to overcome it.
All right. Down Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672. What do we got coming up next, Brady?
Well, we'll talk about it. Did it cost the Bruins the game? We'll go out to the phone lines. Greg Wyshynski covers the NHL for ESPN. He's going to stop by next, give his opinion.
All right. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Clay Travis, Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd. Sounds like a perfect start to a batting lineup. But the huddle is your cleanup hitter. Here to clear the bases, it's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Busy day, guys. So much going on. That's why I want to get right out to our next guest. Joining us on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, ESPN NHL reporter. It's Greg Wyshynski. I knew I was going to botch it up. Greg Wyshynski. I still botch it up. How you doing, Greg?
Doing fine, man. It's nothing I haven't heard from telemarketers before in my life.
There's a comparison.
All right, Greg, let's get right in it. Everybody talking about the non-trip. Was it a trip? It was a trip, but just your thoughts overall first on that play and what happened afterwards.
Yeah, it was a blown call. Clearly a trip. I've seen people refer to it as a slew foot, which it isn't. Slew foot requires the player to use his upper body or his arms to kind of force the trip over his leg or his, you know, while it's sticking out. That wasn't the case last night. It was just a tripping call. It was a tripping minor. They missed it. But, you know, the injury on the play to Achari, and then obviously everybody kind of just stopped skating for a moment, just gave the Blues the moment they needed to bank that puck in off of Tuukka. So it was an egregious miss. I think the Bruins should be as upset about that as they are. I do think the more intriguing topic is whether or not that Craig Berube's griping about the officiating after Game 3 actually did pay off and they're calling the series differently. And an argument could be made that they are.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you that, Greg. I mean, as far as Craig Berube goes, I mean, of course, he looked at reporters last night and basically said he doesn't know anything about that, and of course it wasn't. And, I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, when he first made those comments, they kind of just passed by in my mind because I didn't know what he was complaining about. You know, the calls that were coming down on the Blues where the Bruins got 14 power plays in the first three games, the majority of them were fine. And in some cases, they were like delay of game calls and things of that nature. I just felt like in the first three games of that series, you have to earn your calls. And if you don't have the puck and you're not in the attacking zone, you're not going to earn the same amount of penalties or power plays as the Bruins did. So it kind of just passed by me when he said it. But as we look at what happened in Game 4, where they put their whistles away in the words of David Backes, as we look what happened in Game 5, where clearly at least two penalties should have been called that were not, the trip, and now you've got this hearing for Ivan Barbashev on the hit on Marcus Johansson. That clearly was a penalty they missed, or else they wouldn't be having a hearing. You're starting to wonder if maybe the standards have changed a little bit.
Greg, because I am not a diehard hockey fan, because I am not a diehard Bruins fan, I just look at things very, very logically when it comes to things like this. And I look at it and say, first period, Bruins had a bunch of chances. The goal that Tuukka allowed on that play by Perron wasn't, you know, it was a little bit soft. McAvoy missed a wide open net at one point. Like, it seems a bit of an exaggeration to say that call lost them the game. Do you agree?
No, I think, and Bruce Cassidy today at his availability, I was hearing him speak about an hour ago, indicated the same thing, which is that they don't want to be defined by a call. They want to be defined by their play. And he admitted, look, the moves, the machinations that he made as far as which players are playing with which players and changing their strategies and things of that nature, he just said that I pushed the wrong button. We didn't score enough goals last night. And I think that obviously was the story of the game. It is overshadowed that Jordan Binnington, the Blues goaltender, probably had his best game in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, he looked shaky. I know it was kind of a by any means necessary kind of performance,
right?
But he kept the puck out of the net, and especially in that first period, like you said, where he made upwards of 17 saves, he was a real difference maker last night in a way that he hadn't been in the series previously.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN joining us here on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Regardless of the call last night, the officials have been in the spotlight for the negative reasons all playoffs long. What can the NHL do to rectify the officiating situation? Is it more money? Is it more officials? What can they do?
Well, in a lot of cases, it's just fix the rule book. I mean, one of the debates that we've had throughout this postseason is, you know, should they expand the use of video review for certain situations? And, I mean, you know, when you look at the hand pass that happened in the San Jose-St. Louis series, that's an easy fix.
Right.
Just make it a situation where they can look at the goal if they feel like there might have been something wonky that happened before it, and then they can determine whether or not it's a good goal or not. I mean, I think giving the referees that kind of oversight is what they want, and in many cases would fix some of the problems that we've had in this postseason. But the bigger issue is because I don't know if you guys know, but like after the blown hand pass and after the 5-minute major in the San Jose Vegas series that shouldn't have been called, four veteran referees weren't carried through to the next round.
Right.
Their playoffs were done. So while I still think that the officials in this series are okay, other guys that might have been officiating in the final were basically out of the playoffs because of bad calls they missed earlier in the postseason. And then Wes McCauley, who's one of the best referees in the game, actually got injured in the conference final, so he's not available for the Stanley Cup final. So, I don't necessarily think we're getting the best of the best right now, to be quite honest with you, with the officials that are in this series.
I'm going to try it again. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN NHL reporter. Yeah, I did it.
Well done.
I want to ask you, when it comes to penalties, should the Stanley Cup be officiated like overtime hockey or like the last 2 minutes in the NBA where it's got to be egregious or you just let play go on?
No, it should be officiated like it is in the regular season. I have never understood this notion that the standards of officiating should change in the playoffs. I understand it's a 7-game series. I understand that the referees don't want to, quote-unquote, be the ones to determine who wins the cup.
Right.
But in not calling the rule book, you are becoming the ones who determine who does or does not win the cup. It should be the same standard that we have in the regular season. The idea that it's different is boneheaded, and quite frankly, you know, power plays mean more goals. Power plays mean more action. It means more drama. I don't understand why we're so afraid to call penalties in the postseason when, at worst comes to worst, we get to, you know, watch a 6-5 game versus a 2-1 game.
Yeah, but I mean, even in the NBA, though, you don't want to call a touch foul with 2 seconds left in the game and the score tied. You know what I mean?
Well, that's different, though. I mean, I think we all, as hockey fans, understand the last 5 minutes of the game are Thunderdome. Like, you're not getting a call if it's a close game in the last 5 minutes of the game. But the rest of the time, that's the real issue. And when you see games like last night where there could have been more penalties called, and you know, we've already seen games in the series where the penalties were called. It doesn't set well with you that there seems to be a shifting standard. And I think when you ask the players, you ask the coaches, the executives in this league, all they want is consistency. All they want to know is, you know, from game to game, that they're going to be able to get the same sort of quality of officiating that they can expect. And in some cases, like goalie interference, at least come close to a uniform standard of enforcement. In a lot of ways, hockey officiating is like the strike zone. Everybody's got their own standards. Everybody sees it a different way. And I wish we could get closer to maybe a uniform standard. Maybe robot referees.
I don't know. And skates.
You
know,
like, there you
it'd
go.
Be great if the humans could figure it out.
Just hope they don't fall on the ice. Yeah, what a exactly. Mess that would be.
Well, they would obviously float above the ice, you know, a hoverboard or something.
Hey, maybe you're onto something. Trademark that quick. If you go outside that call, though, I mean, none of that, you know, none of the officiating controversies and missed calls make any difference if the Bruins' top two lines could score a goal. Do you agree?
Completely. And that was one of the stories that kind of got buried last night under Chara's comeback and Binnington and the officiating was, yet again, at 5-on-5, Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak, Krejci, just invisible as far as their output on the score sheet. They've put up some points here and there on special teams, but at 5-on-5, they've been dominated. Now, there is one wrinkle to that, is that the line that the Blues have been using against the Bergeron line, the line with Sundquist and Barbashev and Alex Steen, Barbashev looks like he's not going to be available for Game 6 because of this pending hearing with the NHL for an illegal hit on Marcus Johansson. So that could you know, monkey around with the Blues lineup a little bit and maybe give that Bergeron line a break, because as of right now, that line has completely outplayed what is one of the best lines in hockey, and that's a really stunning development in this series.
Greg, given the ages of some of the Bruins veterans, given the contract status, a lot of guys are free agents after next year, and given the relative ease that the team has had to the finals in terms of its path, would you say this is the last great chance for this Bruins core to win a cup?
I don't. I think this is a team that can contend for a few more years. You know, I know the ages of some of the guys are getting up there. Obviously, Chara's now year to year, and you know, he's taken on pretty significant battle damage in this series. But, you know, the thing the Bruins, I think, have done pretty well is develop some younger players. Pastrnak is young. DeBrusk is young. Coyle, who they acquired, is still very much kind of entering his prime. And then you have McAvoy and Krug on the back end, who are both obviously pretty young, too. So I don't think that this is a win-it-now-or-never-win-it scenario for the Bruins. It is a daunting task when you look at the Eastern Conference and you see, you know, a Tampa team that'll maybe figure itself out next year, and a Toronto team that obviously is stockpiling talent to try to finally get over their schneid. But I think the Bruins have a few more runs left in them with this group.
Greg, we'll get you out of here on this. We're going to have this discussion in about a half hour, so I want your input on it beforehand. DeBrusk scores the goal. It's a delayed penalty. Because he scores the goal, that wipes out the penalty. In college, you get the goal and the penalty in the power play opportunity. Should the NHL adopt that rule?
Nah, I like it the way it is. I think you know, the delayed call allows you to pull your goalie. It gives you that extra skater. You know, you can play around with the puck and try to score there. So you do get some semblance of advantage. It's an interesting rule. I agree. I think it would certainly really penalize teams if you score on the 6-on-5 then score on a 5-on-4. But I think that rule in place is a pretty decent one, and I don't think there'd be a huge groundswell within the league to try to change that one. Now, when it comes to what do you do with the diving penalty? Should a diving penalty overwrite the penalty that allegedly caused the dive? That's always the more interesting discussion on that score.
All right. Great job, Greg. Certainly appreciate it. Can't wait to see how the next game or two come out, and we'll do it again. We appreciate you stopping by.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks to Greg Wyszynski. I got it right
there. Finally.
Wow, finally, huh? That's a tough last name.
How embarrassing is that? We practiced it before the segment started.
I still got it wrong.
You know, and
I still got it wrong.
And I'm the one who looks like the dolt, because when I call him up between segments, I'm like, hey, Greg, we're in commercial break. We'll be right back. And it's Arnie, Rich, and I. And he's okay. And then you come out and go, Greg,
but it was close, though. It was somewhat close.
You got the W part right.
I did. Yeah. That's the easy part.
Yeah, it started with a W.
And
yeah.
You got Greg. Whoa. You just call him Greg.
You know, yeah. You know,
hey,
what,
Greg.
You know what you didn't. You know what you didn't do.
What?
Ask him for Patrick Sharp's number.
Oh damn.
Oh.
Get him back on the line.
I can't.
I don't have his number.
I can't believe that you did not ask him for Patrick Sharp's
number.
Well,
he's a reporter. I didn't even really think of it.
Yeah, but
it's
like,
got to be a player.
I'm surprised you didn't go, hey, Greg, you probably covered some junior teams in your time. Who do you know that's a coach?
Well, why don't we get Wayne Gretzky on? I got a few things I want to say to Wayne.
Speaking of Wayne Gretzky, did you see him the other night?
No.
It looks like hell. What happened? He always looked like a kid.
Why does he look like hell?
He just looks like he's had a couple of facelifts or something.
He is Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, he now has jet black hair. It's the first time I've ever looked at Wayne Gretzky and said, that guy's a little older.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't say that about my idol.
I can say that since I'm a chiseled guy.
Yeah, yes, you are.
You criticizing Wayne Gretzky.
Who would have thought that?
I just thought he looked like he'd a little long in the tooth. It's the first time I've ever seen him not look youthful.
That's why Rich doesn't want to do big market radio, because you couldn't get away with that in the big market.
Oh, wow.
Are you kidding? Boston?
Criticizing
those guys
Wayne
go on?
Gretzky?
I'm criticizing the way he looked. He just looked a little older.
Suppose you said Bobby Orr looked a little older.
Bobby Orr still looks like he could go out there and play.
No, of course Bobby Orr does.
Give me a break. Bobby Orr still looks like he's about 40.
But not Wayne.
No, Wayne looked a little rough.
Right.
And like, you know, as I said, with being someone who looks just like Brad Pitt, you know, it's easy for me to make that call.
Of course. You Rich Askell, Brad
Pitt. Sound like Arnie.
You know, you keep saying Brad Pitt. I heard Rush Limbaugh say, now you could buy to make your kid look like any athlete or...
How do you do that? With a mask or something?
No, they have something that you can go ahead and you could pick and make your kid look like Brad Pitt or like an athlete.
What?
Yeah.
So, Rush Limbaugh was a mask?
Like some surgical procedure?
Can you research this better before you bring it back?
Just blurts this stuff out.
It's like
Rush Limbaugh said it, man. You got a question?
Well,
Rush Limbaugh?
Must be true.
It's like last story standing at 4:42.
You know what? I'll do that for last story standing.
Well, except it's a lot more funny.
My last story standings are the best. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, Yankees taking on the Indians tonight. Didi Gregorius comes back. How much of an impact can that make for New York?
All right, we'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Clay Travis when you drive in, and the huddle when you drive home. And you can always be part of the show by calling or texting at 802-655-6672. This is the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Friday. Good day to rummage through our coworkers' desks and stuff like that since nobody's around. So I just like to go through people's desks.
Let's steal more candy.
Candy.
Like you need more.
Pens,
I have a bunch.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
I have a ton of candy.
I know, but somebody moved the candy and I can't find it.
Well, it's all down. It's all just mini dum-dums or whatever they're called. Those little lollipop things. Yeah, the good stuff, the heavy hitters, like the Tootsie Rolls are
what
gone.
What happened to the Charms lollipops?
Yeah,
those things were big suckers. Those are great.
Yeah.
Charms. I don't even know they make them anymore.
The best ones are just the Tootsie Pops. Those are those are the best lollipops that there are, and they will all. You cannot make any more improvements on the lollipop. Just the Tootsie Roll lollipop and Blow Pops.
Well, you got those big ones that are like different colors and rainbows.
Those are like things for little kids at circuses
and
state fairs.
At Disneyland.
Or Essex Memorial Day parades, which is why they're still here.
I love those things. All right, Brady, let's get to the Yankees.
Yankees are taking on the Indians tonight. They're going to be in Cleveland, 6:30. The coverage starts over on AM 620 WVMT. And Didi Gregorius comes back tonight. And, Rich, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. As unlikable as I find the Yankees in a lot of ways, I really, really root for Didi. And I'm happy that he's coming back tonight. We initially heard he wasn't going to be back until the middle of July. He goes out, Tommy John surgery, right after the Yankees losing the playoffs last year to the Red Sox. And you hear it's going to be an 8-9 month recovery. He's not going to be back till around the All-Star break. And then how's he going to fit into everything? Well, Didi comes back today. This is a quicker return than anticipated. And for a Yankee team that's depleted, if they get a Didi Gregorius that is at least offensively capable of helping, that only makes the Yankees better and better.
Yeah, and I'm actually happy for him, too. Not a Yankee fan, obviously, but it's got to be hard being on the outside looking in and seeing everyone in front of you when you're gone having so much success. You know, you wonder how these guys are feeling. I mean, if you're Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton, you know your place is cemented there. And Didi's is to a point as well. But that's got to feel a little bit standing on the outside, not being able to do anything but rehab, and seeing your team rolling into first place.
Well, it feels good now that now they're getting everybody back and they're in first place, even though it's a game and a half over Tampa. But it's really Boston they have to worry about, and that's 6.5. They got to feel good about the position they're in.
Well, they got to feel good about the position they're in. Although, Rich, I would challenge you in saying that Didi's spot is safe. He's a free agent at the end of the year.
I'm talking about right now. Yes, I mean, I think he's hitting fifth tonight.
Okay, well, I'm just saying he's a free agent at the end of the year. So he could use, not only is it great for him to try to come and try to win a World Series with the Yankees, but he could use a good, you know, this is probably a 100 at bat difference between when we thought he was going to come back until when he actually is back now. 100 extra at bats he's going to get to try to cement himself a good contract in free agency. And we know how, when you're on the other side of 30, how hard it is. Indeed, he's going to be in his low 30s by the time he hits free agency at the end of the year.
Yeah.
This 100 at bats is good for the Yankees and it's good for him.
Yeah, people forget the fact that he's not. I've always thought of him as being a lot younger, but he's not. But I mean, I guess my point is that, you know, you're seeing that the guys like Urshela come up and you see them going out and getting a LeMahieu. And guys like that. And Gleyber Torres turning into an absolute terror offensively and bringing up Thero Estrada and all these guys and seeing some success there. Sure, he's got his place, but I think he's probably a little bit nervous at this point. But it's going to be interesting for sure as far as Yankees fans go as to what this team is going to become when everybody comes back. Because if you're a Yankees fan, do you even want everybody healthy, as absurd as that sounds?
And how do they make everybody fit? Because when Tulowitzki comes back, and you got LeMahieu, and Urshela's played well enough, he deserves a spot. And Didi's going to be there. And Didi can't play defense every day, so he's going to have to DH. Well, then what happens when Stanton's finally back, and when Judge is finally back? There's a lot of guys to fit here, and I don't know if the day comes when everybody's healthy at once. But when that day does come, if it comes, it's hard to fit everybody into the playing time they deserve because the Yankees are stacked with already established players and then players who have established themselves this year.
So all those people they bought up that are helping them get the first place, they're going to have to send back down?
Some of them. Not all. I bet you Urshela stays.
But then, I mean, but you got to get LeMahieu some at-bats, too. I bet you Urshela's earned his way on, but I also believe that he's not going to be your everyday infielder.
LeMahieu's doing something that hasn't been done since, like, 1954. There was some stat I was reading about that he's doing and how great he's playing. So, yeah. What if you get him at-bats?
No, but I mean, and Aaron Hicks is back, so that moves Gardner around. But a guy like Cameron Maybin, who's coming and done fairly well, what happens to him? I mean, he was sort of a scrap heap pickup because they needed another major league body out there. Where does he go?
It's Estrada who was moved down for Didi. Right. There was a logical one, but when Judge is back and when Stanton's back, well, Clint Frazier, we assume, is gone and maybe traded. Then Maybin might be gone and traded. So there's just a lot of pieces here to fit. And then, again, what do you do with Tulowitzki when he's back? Because he's a guy that I didn't think really belonged to the team in the first place. Do they easily just cut bait with him when everybody's healthy? Or do they try to insert him in the lineup also? You just don't know. There's a lot of pieces to juggle there for the Yankees.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Especially for the, I wonder, are they thinking about trading any of these guys?
I think Clint Frazier.
Yeah, I think Frazier.
I think media blow up aside over the weekend and then him criticizing how he's been treated in the past, Clint Frazier's just never felt like he's had a spot on this team because of the numbers crunch that they have. When you talk about Hicks is excellent. He's got a long-term contract. Judge is excellent. Long-term contract. Stan's excellent. Long-term contract. There's those three. There's no easy spot to a starting job in the outfield. Didi's going to have to DH some also. There's no spot for him at a DH position. And then because of the money, Gardner, Ellsbury, those guys are ahead of him too. So therefore, I would say that Clint Frazier is on the outside looking in, and maybe they could trade him for a pitcher.
How are they feeling about that Ellsbury pickup?
It's one of the worst. That is one of the worst contracts I would have to say in Yankee history. It would have to be.
Have you ever seen a guy's career go off the cliff faster than his did?
Sean Figgins.
Who?
Sean Figgins.
That's Angels.
When he played
Padres,
and Mariners.
No? When he played for the Mariners, I was so excited. Now, he only signed a $36 million deal, so this was like before, but like he hit I felt like he hit under 200 for the whole 4 years he was there. He was the worst Mariner in the history of Mariners, and there have been a lot of bad Mariners.
Beltre signed a gazillion-dollar deal there. Was he any good in Seattle?
Great defensively, not offensively, then came to Boston and hit about a zillion homers.
Yeah, drove in 100 runs. He's a strange one because everywhere he's gone, he's been good, except Seattle, where he got the big bucks.
I just saw another contract just today. Allen Iverson's 44 years old. At 55 and 11 years from now, he will get $32 million from Reebok. For a lifetime contract that he signed.
Yeah, I think he has a lifetime contract.
Yeah, he does.
So has he not been making money on it already, you're saying?
He's been getting money, but he's going to get a $32 million lump sum in 11 years from now when he's 55 years old.
So are they buying him out?
No. I think it was just negotiated for him when he started playing in the NBA. Wow. Think about that. That's just crazy.
And here's something to think about as you head into the weekend. I see Mitch Haniger is on the IL with a ruptured testicle.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Ruptured testicle.
He left the game yesterday after fouling a ball off his leg, and that's all I was hoping it was. But
apparently, it hit more than his leg.
I think I did that when I hurt myself playing basketball. Tell your listeners to avoid I-89 south of Williston. Traffic backed up for miles.
French Hill.
Ugh.
South of Williston.
Don't go that way.
I-89 south of. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know where that is.
Yes.
Right there at my exit.
Good old Friday afternoon traffic.
2 hours are in the books. Power Hour coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending. We'll get you ready for the Power Hour. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The Herd.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Power Hour of the show. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Friday out there as we take you home. Last hour of the show.
As we take you home. Sounds like you're doing old music DJing.
As we take you home.
2 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock. Here's Led Zeppelin.
7 minute commute.
Zeppelin at 5.
Part of me thinks, Rich, you miss being a music DJ and just saying things like that.
Well, I'll tell you, it sure was easier than this craziness.
If you could do just one, Tom Karen's doing the play-by-play. If you could just do one play-by-play, I know it'd be the Sox, so I won't put that in there. Bruins, Patriots, or Celtics.
Yeah, it'd be the Sox.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I took the Sox out there, though.
All right, Pats. My gosh. Although I'd have to deal with Zolak, so no. If you could promise me Zolak wouldn't be in the booth with me, I'd do the pass.
Stop insulting the people on our station.
Wow.
Can't deal with
it. Zolak
can't
is the best.
No, you got to do it with Zolak. You got to do it with Zolak.
Ugh. You can't talk bad about the people on our station.
Is he going to walk through the... Well, actually, if he walks through the door, I probably shouldn't say that.
Well, exactly. You wouldn't say it to his face.
No, I wouldn't. You know what? You're right. I'm not going to deny that.
Though a lot of people do criticize him, though.
Just like if Wayne Gretzky came in here, you wouldn't say, hey, Mr. Gretzky, you look real old now.
What happened to your face?
Yeah, actually, I may say that. I would say that.
Yeah, you would. You'd say anything to anybody. Yeah, you're fearless.
Yeah, I would say that.
You know, when you make decisions as a radio station, you don't always account for certain things. So we are doing Flashback Friday next week with our former Red Sox or Yankees player. We've already got the guests lined up. We had to push our guests from this week to next week because, you know, you don't account for things like Game 5 of the Bruins series going on here at the beginning of June. So we wanted to give you guys more hockey talk, wanted to talk more Stanley Cup, wanted to take your calls about the controversy, etc. So we are doing Flashback Friday next week. I mean, we do it every Friday, but we're pushing this week's guest back to next week so that we can have more hockey talk for you guys. Because when I started planning this, I wasn't accounting for the fact that, hey, we might have Game 5 all the way into June here. Yeah. I wasn't anticipating that we weren't going to be able to do it every single week based on the Stanley Cup Finals. But we made the decision. Our guest is coming on next week for Flashback Friday, so more hockey talk for you guys. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672.
And I'm still trying to get you Ken Griffey Jr. on. I'm working on that. I'm efforting that.
Are you efforting?
Oh no, I've got the number. I just want to trade it for Patrick Sharp's number.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the number he has is 24.
But wait a minute now. Wait, if I had Ken Griffey Jr.'s phone number and I said, Brady, would you like him on the show? All you have to do is get me Patrick Sharp's number. How quickly would Brady get me Patrick Sharp's number?
Probably not quickly because he doesn't have it.
He'd find it though.
I would find it, but there's a big difference. You just said, do you want Ken Griffey on the show? Not, do I want to invite Ken Griffey over to my house for a barbecue, which is essentially what you want to do with Patrick Sharp.
No, but you want to do that too. Don't lie. You'd say, oh, Ken, by the way, now that the interview's over, if you're in town, why don't you come on over? We'll have a barbecue. You know, we can hang out, play catch. Don't tell me you wouldn't do that, Brady. You'd do that in a heartbeat.
Of course I would, but I'm not going to go and text him to say, hey, why don't you come over to my house, Mr. Griffey?
Let's play catch, Mr. Griffey.
Hey, you know, Russillo's good friends with Patrick Sharp.
There you go.
Oh, is he?
There's your connection.
And Russillo is good friends with our buddy Aaron Miller.
And since you talk bad about Russillo, I'm sure
he... I don't talk bad about Russillo.
You do talk bad about Russillo.
I hear Scott Zolak has his number. Oh, wait, we can't use him anymore either.
You talk about Russillo and say he wears too small of shirts.
Well, yes, he does. I do say that. Yes, his shirts are too small.
You go up every time.
I actually said that to him on the air, and he got all offended.
He did. He said, are you wearing a medium?
Yeah. He goes, what? It's an extra large. What do you want from me? I really got to be careful.
By the way, your wife agrees with me. Zolak is 100% unlistenable. That's your wife, so don't deny it.
I don't understand what's the big deal about it. I never let an announcer just like ruin the game for me or anything like that. You guys seem like it just kills you guys.
It does. It makes it very difficult. What about Tommy Heinsohn? Do you like him?
I love Tommy, but I mean, overall, though, I don't care if he does the games or not. It's not going to affect me one way or the other, you know? A good guy or a bad guy, I still enjoy the game.
I'm just saying, Rich, haven't you been a company man your entire career?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So now you're just telling our listeners actively that our product sucks. That's what you're telling
them. But that's not specifically our product. We just happen to be one of many stations that carries Patriots football.
The only
and
one
I listen
in this...
to every game religiously, believe me, while I'm driving around on a winter Sunday.
We are the only station in this area that carries the Patriots.
Yes. But he's not employed by our radio station.
Brady, you don't have anybody that bothers you, do you?
If he walked in here, I'd shake his hand and say, I love your work.
Love your work.
I'm not denying that.
Of course you would.
Do you have anybody that bothers you play-by-play-wise or Colorado-wise?
I have people that I don't like listening to, but they don't ruin a broadcast for me.
No, I never thought they ruined broadcasts.
Like the Oakland A's guys on TV I really don't enjoy. Like I'll watch a lot of Mariners games, and when they play the A's, sometimes I'll get the A's broadcast. I can't stand those guys, but I'm not going to not watch the game because of them.
You know, I like Darling, but I don't care if Darling's there. You know, he came back.
Gary Cohen.
I mean, they rotate all these guys around, you know?
Yeah, they do. And, of course, I mean, with radio with the Red Sox. I don't know who's on from tonight. We get TC tonight.
I actually like what the... Remember when they first said they were going to have different announcers after the whole Tim Never thing? And we're like, wow, is that going to be good? It actually has turned out good so far. I haven't heard anybody be like real negative about it. I've heard somebody say on Twitter that Chris Berman wasn't actually the best.
He was...
But overall, I think it's been pretty positive.
My only complaint about the Chris Berman situation there was last weekend, I think. excuse me if you can possibly listen to me.
Yeah.
Was that it just became more about him and less about, you know, it's radio. We can't see it. Tell us what's going on. And there was just, it was constantly all these side jokes and side stories. And,
well, that's
oh, by the way,
there's
a grand slam. It's like the old Phil Rizzuto thing. Doing, talking about the players' wives having a picnic tomorrow while a guy's hitting a grand slam.
Shane in Plattsburgh tells me Brady quit whining. The Stanley Cup final always goes into June. Yes, Shane, but I wasn't anticipating the Bruins being in it playing until June when we started doing Flashback Friday. So I'm disappointed that Flashback Friday, that we had to cancel it for this week so we could talk about the Bruins. So that's great for Bruin fans. I enjoy Flashback Friday, and we just made the executive decision to push it to next week.
I made that decision.
No, you didn't. We all did collectively.
Well, you said executive. That means Arnie.
Well, we all have 33%, but I have the extra 1%.
Wait a minute, 33.99. Hey, there is an extra percent, isn't
about
there?
That. All right, Brady, let's go ahead and get back to the Bruins and what happened in the game yesterday.
Well, we have to.
Bruins lose yesterday. They lose to the St. Louis Blues. They're down 3-2 in the series. The officiating, the non-tripping call on Nola Chari, it was egregious. It was bad. Bruce Cassidy told you it was bad. Chari told you it was bad. Torrey Krug said it was bad. Tuukka Rask said it was a missed call. Everybody says it was a missed call. When you look at the macro, take away just from that game yesterday, how bad a spot is the NHL in when it comes to the officiating?
Well, from what Greg Wyshynski was just saying, that's a concern. If you're getting rid of guys who are your top 95% of officials because they make one mistake, i.e. the hand pass and things like that, and the Vegas hit play and everything, that's a problem because now does that mean that if the 60% good guys don't make any mistakes for the first three rounds, those are the people who are running the show in the finals?
I don't think we have that much out of all of this sports. I think we have less problems with the hockey officiating than all the other sports out there. Maybe it's because we know it better or you know, watch it more. But it seems like the NHL doesn't have that much of a problem. There's a few things that we talk about, the skate in the crease, you know, with the Sabres and that. But for the most part, can we count more than five times, you know, that a call affected the game? We could probably come up with thousands on all the other sports out there.
Hockey has a dilemma, obviously, where you can't just stop the game. Last night being a prime example. Clearly, that was a tripping call and should have been called. The fact that it wasn't, you can't go to a replay on it because the play goes on and a team scores. You can't say, nope, that didn't count after that. We didn't blow the whistle. We blew the call. But we've decided to take that goal away from St. Louis because we're going to stop the play and review it.
I don't think that... I was reading a lot of stuff today that this is doomsday for hockey. That the fact that, look, the call, there have been a couple of bad calls in this playoffs. The hand pass, there was the goal that was scored against the Bruins where it was in the Columbus series where it went up into the netting and then came back down and was scored. The Pavelski San Jose play against the Vegas series. So the NHL has had some bad calls that have been egregious in this postseason. I don't think this is doomsday for hockey. Like, you're driving people away from the sport because at the end of the day, hockey fans are still hockey fans. Yep. They're going to watch no matter what. And the ones that aren't hockey fans, they don't really care about the officiating problem, okay? The NFL, you know, what's a catch, what's not a catch, I think that's a far bigger deal when we talk about officiating problems than the NHL. Because, again, the diehard hockey fans are going to remain diehard hockey fans, and the non-hockey fans are going to go away after the playoffs end anyways.
Right, that's a good point. I mean, you very rarely, if you have a guy who doesn't really care about hockey, he's going to sit there and watch Minnesota versus Arizona in the middle of a blizzard in February. But the other sports, they will. I mean, who doesn't watch any? You know, if somebody's going to watch NFL games, they don't care who's playing on a Monday night.
Why do we have to wait for a stoppage of play, though, in the NHL to look at something? And the only reason I bring that up is in the NBA... we don't stop the play. Like, if a guy hits a three, or we don't know if it's a three or two, the officials will let the play go on, look at it later on, and then they'll adjust the score.
Right.
Except if it's in the last 2 minutes, though. Right? In the last 2 minutes, if they're not sure it's a three or two, boom, the whistle goes, and we stop play. No matter even if the other team's going to have a fast break, because you can't have the wrong score. You can't say, oh, you're up by one, or you're tied. Are you down by one? You can't have that. So they stop it right away. They change it. How about in the NHL, we stop it right away in like the last 5 minutes or something if there's something that needs to be reviewed? I don't know. Maybe that's a possibility.
Well, the NHL has it tough in that kind of a scenario because that's the one sport that can literally go on for 15 minutes without any whistles. I mean, it usually doesn't go nearly that long.
No.
But the NBA
but at least
goes
a couple minutes.
I mean, there's a whistle on virtually every possession in the NBA.
But you got to stop it. So. You can't allow a next possession if you don't know the score with 2 minutes left. Are you down one or are you tied?
Right.
There's a big difference.
No, you got to attack that immediately.
Yeah. Yes, you got to do that immediately.
Well, 802-655-6672. How bad a spot is the NHL in? What do you want to see them do? Are you driven away from the sport because of what you've seen this playoffs? And what did you think of the Bruins yesterday? Again, 802-655-6672. Call or text in. We love when you call in as well. You know, the thing about it also is, I was thinking about this, and Arnie, I'll kind of defer to you as someone who's watched hockey at the higher level, and I tend to do that in these scenarios. The one thing that worries me, and it worries me about the NHL and the NBA both, is that the games have gotten so fast, they've gotten so physical, that these games do feel like they're a little too fast for the officials. So when we talk about how can an official miss that call, or how can two officials miss that call, the game is being played at a speed and power level that it's never been played at before. And I think that's the concern in the NHL or the NFL also. Even I think it's in all these sports. These games are being played faster, more physically than they've ever been played before. And when you talk about a 52-year-old official out there trying to keep up with some of the things going on the outside of the, you know, the wide receiver DB battle, or going on with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, those things are hard to do for some of these officials that are older.
Shouldn't you have better officials in baseball and hockey than in basketball and football? And
why?
The reason I bring that up is because hockey, I mean, Rich, where do we want to start? The AHL, the East Coast Hockey League, the OHL.
Kent State.
The AJHL. No, I mean, there's all these different leagues that are almost... They are professional, that you can come up and, yeah, it's going to be a little bit faster, but at least you're, for the most part, you know the rules and you've been doing it for a while. Baseball, AAA baseball, you know what I mean? So you could spend years down there and have the same type of game, but in football, where are you going to learn? College? I mean, it's a different game.
I think you have to officiate
in
college.
In basketball, what are you going to do? G League? And that's really not quite the same either. And that's, what, recently, what, 10 years ago, so, or within the last 10 years.
G League is sort of the same thing. I mean, the talent, obviously, isn't the same. No, but I mean, it's basketball.
But you're right. But
and it's still fast.
But Major League Baseball and hockey has so many different leagues. Yeah. So you would think they're more prepared when they go up to the big leagues.
And I don't think it's a case in the NHL where you just add another set of eyes out there. I mean, isn't four enough? I remember when they added a fourth and a second referee a few years back, and I thought, man, that seems like a lot of guys on the ice.
And we got a text in from George in Middlebury. What's the average age of an official? Now, I don't have it for all four sports, but in the NFL, it's 51. So the average age of an NFL official is 51. And when you get guys that are these elite of an athletes that can do the things that NFL players can do, I can understand why it's hard for a 51-year-old on average to see things in real time. And I get why it's hard in hockey, too. I'm not making an excuse for the officials. I would put an extra eye in the sky, though. I wouldn't put them on the ice because it's going to get too clogged. But I would put somebody up above. And I don't know what that person's jurisdiction is. I don't know what they can say. Can they stop play instantly? Can they only do the help and reviews? I don't know. But I put somebody up above on high that has a full vantage point of the entire ice. Because I do believe the game is at a point where it's too fast for officials of this age to continuously be able to get every call right.
I'm sort of for that, except the fact that you're right. That person up in the booth has to make a decision on a play like last night instantly and just stop the game. And I don't know if somebody that's not on the ice has the ability to do that, where they just say, okay, stop the game right now, and the play never happens.
Here's the problem, right? You have to have old officials, and here's why. Brady, the NFL has a rule that you have to do 10 years of college football before you can come up. Well, how old are you when you're doing college football? Let's 27. Let's say you're get at a young age, 25, 27.
Man, I would say that means, probably even a little older.
All right, let's say 28 to 30.
Yeah.
That means by the time you're ready for the NFL, you're going to be about 38 to 40.
Yeah.
And you're going to be a rookie at 40 years old. So, you know, of course you're going to have 45 to 50-year-olds there. Now, if the NFL said, okay, you don't have to do 10 years, maybe 5 years, well, then we're going to get less qualified applicants, are we not? Or can you learn as much in 5 years as you can in 10? I'm not sure. It's a damn if you do, damn if you don't. Catch 22 there if you want to do that.
Ty in Canada says, actually, the war room in Toronto will sound a horn inside the arena. Yeah, every now and then you'll hear the siren go off at random times. That's to signal the refs that a review is needed. Unfortunately, they only do this for potential goals that got missed. Maybe the NHL can expand the process. Again, do you sound a horn in the middle of that play after the trip last night? That just I don't see how that translates.
In the NBA, the refs are trained, and I think it's the last 2 minutes. I don't know if it's five, but I'll just say two. That if they can't tell if it's a three or two, they are to blow the whistle immediately because it's an unfair advantage, even if it's a fast break on the other side, Rich, because You want to know, are you up one, are you down one, are you tied? You can't play on.
I mean, but imagine after the Acherry trip last night, and St. Louis is swarming the net, and they're about ready to score. They got two guys in front of the net, and all of a sudden the siren goes off.
Yes.
I don't see how you apply that.
I could see that happening too.
People are also saying, well, hey, pay the officials more money. There are full-time NHL officials, actually, and the money is pretty good, we think. It's 100 between... Depending on if you're a referee or a linesman, you can make between $110,000 and $360,000 per year. That's pretty good money to be an NHL official. But when you consider it, that it's at least $300,000 to $500,000 less than the least paid player makes in the NHL, do you need more money for the official for the officials to entice people to do it?
Is that to get like better applicants? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, to get more applicants, so therefore you'll get a better pool to choose from.
You know, it's interesting. I knew one guy was a big high school star at Santa Monica when I was in Los Angeles, and I told you about my other buddy who is a coach there. He couldn't make it in the NBA, and he became an NBA ref, and he's been a big... You guys know Leon Wood, a big NBA ref, and he's been there a long, long time, and he was really, really good. He just wasn't good enough to get in the NBA. Brady, who do we have on the line?
Wilder in Bristol.
Wilder, hey, good afternoon. You're in the huddle.
What Bristol and Wilder.
What's up?
So, Brady, actually, to touch on your point earlier, a few of the hockey analysts, I can't remember if it was Jeremy Roenick or someone else in that area, was actually saying to pull two linesmen out, keep two linesmen on the ice, or two refs on the ice, put one in the box so they can do overhead reviews or on-call reviews. And it's to, A, because the game's too fast, and B, because refs are getting hurt. And it's a great idea, I think. I've watched hockey for 30 years, and this has been the worst officiating. There's like four games that have been decided just on bad calls.
Well, Wilder, if this has been the worst, then last year wasn't so bad, and the year before that, so maybe we're just having a 1-year sample size.
It's okay to miss calls, but miss calls that affect an entire game, that's something you have to fix.
Okay, and I appreciate the call, but I guess my point is we didn't have this last year, did we? And the year before, I don't remember any big controversies like this year. So maybe it's just one bad year, Brady. It happens.
Look, that is possible. But I think you're going to continue to see a trend as the games get faster, as the players get bigger, as the physicality gets increased, and as the referees, as you've pointed out, and I think you're correctly to do so, as the referees remain older, it's going to be harder and harder for officials to see everything on the ice, especially older officials on the ice. Now, again, I don't know the game as well as Wilder or Jeremy Roenick, but if you're telling me, hey, I can unclutter the ice, take somebody off of it, and put them up ahead and help you make decisions that way, I'd be for that. And he is right. Referees are getting hurt. So when you talk about keeping referees more safe, then I'm for that too. I don't know that I'd take two off the ice because you still need somebody down there to police hockey and keep things separated and keep some order there, but I'm for keeping officials safe, and I'm for the officials having a different vantage point to be able to see things on the ice that you might miss in real time.
This is from Todd, but Rich and I endorse this text.
Yes.
Newsflash for Brady, 50's not that old. He's talking like these officials need walkers or something. I've seen a lot of bad calls made by young officials too, Brady. Also, a lot younger umps have rabbit ears and run managers over nothing. That is from Todd out there.
Todd just, your new buddy.
Todd just hates me. That's the point.
Oh, is that what it
is? Oh, is he one of the haters?
He's coming on the podcast.
There you go. Get those haters on.
He's coming on.
What's the rules for Major League Baseball? You don't need 10 years or something?
Oh, no. Like, you need to go through extensive training. I don't think there's an age.
Well, they have schools for that.
Yeah, they have schools for it. Yeah.
And that's a long road, just like ball players. I mean, it's almost an impossible road up to the majors for umpires. I mean, you see that. Literally, these kids umpiring the New York Penn League games. I mean, I see that, you know, I'd go get their names so I could announce them.
What are you, like
and
25
they look like they're about 11. No, I'll bet a lot of them are 21, 22.
Yeah, but do you need like 10 years of AAA experience to finally
A lot of guys spend 10 years in AAA before they finally just give up or get called up. Yeah, it's. I'd say it's just as hard, if not harder, for an umpire to make the show as it is for a player. I mean, you start at the bottom.
Yeah, but how many people are trying to become umpires? You would think that that's kind of... I think there'd be more people trying to be NBA refs, NFL refs.
Well, also, but keep in mind, also, you only get two umpires at the low leagues, like the New York Penn League. There's only two umps per game. There's not... I mean, at least with
really?
Yeah, there's a base umpire and a home plate umpire, that's it. So there's just no openings.
What'd you think, real quick? Because we talked about this with Greg Wyshynski. I did just want your opinion on this. So, yesterday when the Bruins are down 2-0, they get the delayed penalty call, right? Tuukka comes off the ice, DeBrusk goes and scores, and they make it 2-1. In college hockey, that would be a goal and you get the penalty. So you get the goal and the penalty on the delayed call. In the NHL, if you score on the delayed penalty, that wipes out your potential power play opportunity. Would you like to see the NHL adopt a college rule where, so yesterday, you would have had the goal by DeBrusque making a 2-1, and you're going to get the double down opportunity because you're going to get an upcoming power play.
I heard you mention that with Greg Wyshynski, and that was completely news to me.
Man, college hockey, that's the rule.
All the hundreds of games at Gutterson I've been to over the several decades, I've never noticed that.
At least it is at Division III. Yeah. I haven't watched a ton of Division I hockey, so I'm just saying, at Division III, at least that is the rule.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only, maybe it's the Bruins fan in me saying, yeah, let's look back at that. So in other words, it would have been 2-0, but the Bruins would have then had a power play.
Well, no, so DeBrusque scores the goal, makes it 2-1,
okay.
And they get the penalty,
I see what you're saying.
You would have had two chances, essentially, there.
Yeah, I'm not for that.
Me either.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. I was thinking
of a different scenario.
Because I look at it in the same way that Greg Wyshynski did, and he told us that, look, when Tuukka comes off the ice, you've got 6-on-5. You've therefore taken the advantage already and scored. You shouldn't get the advantage twice where you're going to score on 6-on-5 and then potentially get a chance to score 5-on-4. Right. I saw some people saying that on social media. Hey, I wish the NHL had the college rule. I'm not for that.
Yeah, we've already seen a couple of goals on delayed penalties, including the game winner in game 2 of Boston.
I've seen a team, I can't remember what game it was, where they had a penalty, they pulled the goalie, and they scored... And the other team scored on them. And you say, well, that's impossible because once they touch the net, the puck, the whistle blows, they scored on themselves.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's entirely possible.
They scored on themselves.
Sure.
He went to pass it back. The guy wasn't there. It went right into the goal.
I'll bet that's happened more times than you'd imagine in the history of hockey. I'll bet it's happened dozens of times.
Get out of here.
At all levels?
Well, I'm talking about the NHL, but that was like laughing. I'm like, oh my God, how do you score on yourself? That's too funny. 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Patriots got their Super Bowl rings yesterday at the ceremony. A lot of old friends were there.
Yeah.
Should this guy have shown up?
That's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What am I going to point through the game? Beautiful Friday out there. Hope everybody enjoying themselves.
I am spending every second this weekend outdoors.
I bet you downtown is just rocking.
And I finally dragged Brady out onto the rail trail.
Wow.
Why? I can't say that?
It's Jess's birthday this weekend. I got surprises planned.
That's a surprise?
That's a surprise.
Going for a walk?
She wanted to go on a nature walk with me and our dog in a nice new place.
She already knows it's happening. You're just making it happen.
No, she doesn't know. She doesn't know where. She doesn't know when.
Okay, well, I didn't really say much. I didn't say anything specific.
You're going
out on a trail.
You just said, I'm dragging Brady up to the Lamoille Rail Trail.
I never said Lamoille. You just gave it away.
Hopefully she's not listening right now.
If you're going to go on a trail, I'm going to go mountain climbing, I think, then.
I'm doing that, too. It's going to be an active weekend.
Rich and I went mountain biking last year, and you elected not to come.
If you had ever been there, you would have left in an ambulance.
Oh, sure.
I almost did.
You wouldn't have survived.
It was unbelievable.
It's true.
Up at the Trapp Family Lodge.
Rich fell down.
I did a header and still have the scar from hitting the tree.
Funny.
Oh, it was a great time. It actually was.
It was fun. We stunk at it.
Yes. You know how in Orange Theory, orange is like 90 to 100, or 80 to 5 to 90, and then the red zone is up to 100. We would have had like a black zone, about a 200% maximum heart rate.
What does Will in Plattsburgh say? Your guest was right, saying the rule book in hockey needs to be better. To call roughing, tripping, and interference has become too difficult to interpret at such a fast pace.
The game is just so quick. It's so quick.
Yeah, you can say that about NFL too and NBA.
I just did. Yeah. Yes, it's hard for all of them. It is hard for all of these guys with the speeds and physicality that these games are now played at. It is a hard thing to do. So I'm for taking someone off the ice and putting them above. I just don't know what kind of power they would have from up above, but I'm for giving these referees more tools.
Doug up in Champlain says, maybe entice officials to retire earlier and bring about some overturn to keep the average age lower. Also, younger refs should bring more enthusiasm, and their inherent athleticism will help keep up with the growing pace. I was surprised when you said, what'd you say, 51?
51 is the average age of an
NFL. That shocks me. I thought it was about maybe 40.
You know, I think I should tell my kid if he doesn't play hockey, he should be an official. I don't know. We say that baseball catchers make the best managers. Do goalies ever become officials?
I can just see it now. He's going to be going to the officials union. My name is Arnie Spanier. just hammering on them.
Hey, well, where's my kid? Brady, I'm going to the Bruins game as my kid's officiating the game. Let's go, ref.
It'd be great. We could all boo Shea.
How funny would that be if everybody started throwing? I would leave the damn arena.
Here's one that's interesting, actually. So the NHL officials do appear to be skewing younger in the ages than the NFL. I mean, I'm not going to go through every one.
Right, right.
But I look at the top two alphabetically, 29 and 27.
In the NHL?
In the NHL.
Well, obviously they don't have the 10-year rule, I guess.
Well, no, there are some, certainly. They're up there, 49, 50, 45, 48, I mean, 46. They're up there, but I would say that it is skewing younger in the NHL than it does in the NFL.
Real quick, first-time texter, 89 is a parking lot, so be careful out there. And what's another first-time texter? I can't believe you guys all missed the main point about the penalty.
He says, put the whistles away in the third period. Well, if it's a penalty, it's a penalty.
And that one was so egregious, you have to call that penalty.
But is a penalty? I asked you, if the game's tied, we talked to Greg Wyshynski, I said, if the game's tied, do you want a touch foul being called with the score tied at 101?
No, I don't, but this was a trip. This was a blatant trip where a guy got injured. That's a penalty.
But you're saying, though, call it, you know, like it's supposed to be called. So you can't take that away. A foul's a foul in the first 2 minutes of a game as it is in
I'm
the
just
last
saying,
two
I mean, look, there's a difference between a little hand check in the NBA and a guy getting tackled into the third row. There's a difference. This guy Achari got injured yesterday. That should have been a penalty. I don't believe it cost him the game. It still should have been a penalty.
But you still should referee your, you know, differently in the last 2 minutes of a game or something like that. I think so.
Well, it's like overtime. Yeah. How often do you see a penalty called in an overtime? Almost never. Much.
All right, get to the Patriots because they got their rings. Make me sick a little bit.
Yeah, this is interesting, though. 802-655-6672. So Patriots get their rings yesterday. They get them at Robert Kraft's house in the ceremony. 6-1 for Tom Brady. We know that. Belichick with the Pats. We know that. Brian Flores showed up yesterday. Brian Flores was the defensive coordinator de facto for the Pats last year. He is now the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. There were a lot of former Patriot players there yesterday. Trey Flowers was there. We saw Eric Rowe there. So guys that had played for the Pats last year that aren't there this year. Flores, being the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, he canceled their OTA workout yesterday for the Dolphins so he could be there.
Yes.
Do you have a problem with Brian Flores skipping out on his new gig?
Oh, no. If I own the team and he came to me, excuse me, you know, Arn, I would like to go to Robert Kraft's house to get my Super Bowl ring and cancel OTAs. I was, absolutely. Absolutely. Have a good time. By the way, why don't you clear out your locker, too, because we don't need you to come back. We'll find somebody else that wants to be here. I don't know why you can't get your ring through the mail. There's UPS. There's Federal Express.
You play them twice a year.
Or have somebody bring it to you. I would have said, definitely go. Clean out your locker, too, because we're going to get another coach. Get out of here. You want to go collect your ring, so you're going to cancel OTAs, and you're a rookie coach, and it's your first coach, and it's your new team, and you don't even know who the hell is your quarterback, and you're going to cancel it? What is wrong with you? I'm scratching my head. I don't even know what to say about this.
This is great because you have a Dolphins fan over there and a Patriots fan over here. But we agree. I don't agree quite as much as you. I'm a lot closer to the fence in this one. I knew we were going to talk about this, and I thought about it quite a bit yesterday. I would not have any problem with Flores showing up except for the fact that he canceled OTAs.
Yes.
I think the timing went too bad if you can't. Like Arnie said, put it in the mailbox and send it to me. I have a big problem if I'm a Dolphins
fan. It still
fan.
Counts the same, just like your diploma. You don't have to be at the graduation. You still got the diploma.
If it's an off day, I'm fine with it. But that wasn't an off day. It became an off day because of something that the New England Patriots were doing.
802-655-6672, because it's a clean sweep for all three of us. I got a problem with Flores being there, too. And if I were a Dolphins fan, I'd be livid about this. Somebody call in and tell us that you disagree with us and that you think Flores was in the right by being there yesterday, because I haven't seen one person yet on the text line who defends Flores being there. If you're out there, call in and tell us, 802-655-6672. It's the wrong approach, because as Arnie said, it's your first time being the head coach. You're the division that's trying to beat the Patriots. You've got a lot of turnover on this team. You were picking in, you know, with the top 12 of the draft because you were so bad last year. There's a lot of things that need to be done with this Miami franchise. You can't be blowing off practice at a time when it's mandatory for everybody to be there. You can't be canceling it to go hang out. I mean,
he's a rookie head coach.
You just broke up with your girlfriend, and then 2 months later you're going to go hang out with her at her wedding. There's something wrong with that.
And the fact is, he's been with the Patriots for 15 years, almost 15 years. So he must have at least two rings.
He's got multiple. He's got
that's
at least
what I mean.
Three to four.
This
rings.
Is not his first rodeo here. So it's not like there's some magical moment that he gets a ring. He's already gotten two or three rings.
Yes, he was the. Yes, this isn't somebody who's 65 years old and has been waiting for this forever. Flores, he's been on the staff since 2003. So what they got wins it. 03, 04. They got wins against when they beat Seattle. He's probably got five rings to his credit.
Chris says it's once in a lifetime. Right. No, it's not once in a lifetime.
It's never once in a lifetime when it comes to Patriots rings, is it, Arnie?
Steve says he probably figured it'd be the only time he'd receive a ring now that he's in Miami. But he's already got a bunch of rings, for crying out loud.
Nice shot.
I mean, unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. Do you think Belichick would do that? If Belichick were all of a sudden, I mean, come on, it's all about, hey, we're on to our next season, we're on to our next team here. Flores, again, the offseason, there is an offseason here after the OTA periods before training camp. Go fly to Robert Kraft's house personally if you want to get it then. Do that. You play the Patriots twice a year. You could have them hand it to you in a ceremony in Miami if you want to before the game. It doesn't matter. You did not need to do this.
Do you need the free food and booze? Is that why you wanted to be at the party so bad or what?
Yeah, it seems like everybody across the Town Fair Tire text line agrees. Todd says it's because he's coaching the Dolphins and he knows there's no chance he'll...
They know
that they're going to stink no matter how much they practice.
And Will said that's a bad move on Forrest Party. He's now a Dolphin, not a Patriot.
Absolutely.
So everyone agrees with us. And I would have thought that there was somebody out there who said, kind of like Chris and Champlain did, I guess he's the one who says, oh, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, as you said, no, it's not. And I would have thought someone said, oh, he was an integral part of the team, and his defensive game plan helped smother the Rams' great offense. He should have been there to celebrate it. He wasn't even the defensive coordinator in title. Yeah. He's a defensive coach, of which there are 85 defensive coaches.
If I was really strong, I would have shook his hand goodbye and tried to break his ring finger. As I was shaking his hand, like, you know, Adrian Peterson's grip. You think I'm kidding? Right. I'm not kidding.
And what's he going to do? Wear his rings back to Dolphins practice in the fall?
Look what I got, guys. Well, you had them before. You didn't have to go and get the new one.
I'll say this, though. I do feel differently because it's a coach. The old players that were there, like Trey Flowers not being in Detroit to go and get his ring, I don't have a problem with the players.
Well, I don't have a problem with that, too.
I don't. Huh?
You do?
I do.
I don't have a problem with the players. I have a massive problem with the coach.
You just don't need to be there. There's just no reason for you to go through a... by the way, it's not really a ceremony. It was just a
big party,
a big party at Robert Kraft's house. And they're handing out the rings. Here, everybody have a ring. It's like a grab bag at the end of a birthday party or something.
I bet they
like
didn't
that.
Have strippers.
Yeah, I'm sure about that. Unbelievable that I wouldn't even let the players go back either. Matter of fact, if I'm the Patriots, I'd say if you're a player on another team, I don't want you to come back. I'll just give you the ring.
Drew Pomeranz plays for the Giants, wasn't even on the Red Sox playoff roster. He left the Giants to go to the White House to meet the president with the Red Sox.
Well, the key there is telling your coach way in advance, just like a lot of things for normal people in life. As long as you give a heads up really, really early in the game, you're okay. And I think we've all been guilty of not doing that many times in our life. I know I have been.
What is Lodi asking? I don't even understand.
He says, honest question, how much worse is this that... You know, if a player did it. So he's asking what we've just been talking about.
Okay, so if a player did it, then if a coach did it.
I don't have a problem with players doing it. Trey Flowers being there, Eric Rowe be there. I have no problem with that. I have a major problem with Flores, who's a guy who's trying to turn around the culture in Miami, in your division rival, and canceling practice to go up and celebrate with the Patriots. That's just not something that you do. And I bet you most NFL coaches would be in agreement that that was the wrong way to handle
that. That's like we hiring somebody new here at work. And then 3 days later, they go, oh, by the way, where do I put in my vacation request? I want to take a vacation next week. I got a vacation coming up, huh?
You're saying you never did that when we first hired you?
Yeah, I should have, for crying out loud. I really should have.
When can I get 5 minutes off?
Yeah, I need 5 minutes off. You want to jump in 802-655-6672. We'll go ahead and read some of those. Brady, the four-minute football fix, that's coming up next. Oh, and by the way, some guy said he didn't like my last story standing. He said that was a lame story.
Which it was.
Yeah. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 or 5 last stories.
Okay. Well, one of them might be good.
One of them's got to be good. So that's coming up later on also. You're in the huddle. What do we point through the game?
The Patriots are coming off another Super Bowl. And the Giants are looking to get back to relevance. We know the season is a ways away, but there's never an off-season for talking football. It's the four-minute football fix on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right. By the way, Jess from Burlington says, giving the people a heads up, I-89 northbound, a parking lot.
Yeah, for many miles.
I guess Williston Road, which is, I think, like exit 14 all the way up to the Milton exit, which is 17. So that's,
wow, that's like 10 miles.
But that's, you're saying there must be an accident. I say we have this every Friday, but it seems like.
You can't have a 10-mile backup just because of random traffic in northern Vermont. And there has to be an incident of some sort that's blocking
it's
things.
It's called the best, the perfect weather, first great-looking Friday.
Right.
And people were out on the streets and getting home and wow, driving around like crazy.
Wow. I mean, if it really is the Milton exit all the way to Williston Road, that's 10 miles.
That's a long one.
That's not very Vermont. Well, at least we have a captive audience, boys. Say something smart and funny.
Corey in Plattsburgh, was it blowing off practice or is it rescheduled? Wait a minute.
I think the OTAs are defined as this week, so there is no rescheduling
of it. Oh, by the way, it's a car fire.
That's what
Pats fan Ron
said that.
As opposed to Rams fan Ralph.
Yes, so it's right at a
rest stop. Oh, right at the rest stop. So it's not quite at exit 17, but that's still a hell of a backup.
Wow.
And, of course, that's going to mess everything up around the side roads, you know, trying to get to the interstate.
Yeah.
Bad accident. Oh, now we have a bad accident by the overpass by the Winooski River. Ugh.
Oh, my goodness, people. Please be safe out there.
You can't blame it on the weather.
Oh, all right, Brady, let's get to the four-minute football fix. We'll keep you updated on the weather. I mean the weather on the traffic. I'm sorry.
Sunny for the weekend. Yes.
Patriots OTAs. Sony Michel not on the field at all for the OTAs that the media was open to. So the three OTAs that the Patriots media has seen, Sony Michel hasn't been on the field for all of them. And some of the Patriots media starting to get a little bit concerned about Sony Michel. And here's the reason why. He came in with knee problems. Remember, he tore his ACL in college at Georgia. Missed time last preseason, first couple weeks of the season. He missed with knee problems there. And even though he looked great during the season when he played,
the
knee issues have always been prevalent.
Yep.
Now, they draft a running back in the third round and Damian Harris higher than you would expect them to draft a running back after they just took one in the first round last year. Now, Michelle's not on the field at all, really, at all in the offseason program. Do you have even a little bit of a hint of a doubt about Sony Michel's health?
Well, I do. I mean, the last time he was seen participating in anything was May 20th. And that was, what? I mean, that was, it was fairly recently, but... Yes, to answer your question, that seems a little bit strange. I mean, is he there? Is he there in street clothes?
I don't even know if he's present.
That concerns me. Are they saving him for the season?
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, he gave his view on this today.
This is a player in Sony Michel who, to me, had a Pro Bowl level season at least. Was worth the first round pick for the return you got. Helped you win a Super Bowl in no small part. But he came into the league as his 31st overall pick with a bone-on-bone situation. People I talked to said it's probably not going to be a long career for him, unfortunately. And I hope that he defies those predictions. But had a knee injury during the season. Now he's not even out on the field, meaning he's probably getting some rehabilitation somewhere. He's nothing to hold of. So that doesn't bode well for his availability at the beginning of the year. Good thing they have Damian Harris here to try and take that workload off, because they didn't intend to give him 288 touches last year.
Well, that's the other thing. They gave him 288 touches, and Arnie, you talk about him, he always should get 80% of the carries. Well, they know his health risks, and they know his situation. Remember, they had Jeremy Hill, who tore his ACL in the first week last year. You had Rex Burkhead, who was out a bunch of weeks. Michel probably played more last year than they wanted him to, given his knee injuries. He had to play a lot, and maybe didn't handle it all that well.
Well, maybe. I mean, we're never privy to all the inside information or the injuries as of Todd Gurley. I mean,
yeah.
I still don't know if he has a bad knee or not. I can't tell what happened in the Super Bowl or leading up to the Super Bowl and what's going to happen with him now and the money that he's getting, which is going to be ridiculous if he can't keep that up. But, yeah, I'm concerned about him because he was injured. Yeah. I'm not so much concerned about him because he's missing OTAs, like he's going to fall behind, but I am worried about his physicality.
Yeah, I'm worried because it's Sony Michel, as you said, a guy with a lot of past injuries. He's been through a lot at Georgia, and certainly last year he only started, I think, 8 games. He missed 3 games completely, and we got 7 weeks till training camp starts, so I guess we'll see what happens.
You know, we've talked about, and Arnie, we were talking about this earlier in the week, kind of the development for Sony Michel is really key in terms of him being in the pass game. That gets him on the field more, makes them less predictable. Well, the Patriots worked almost yesterday exclusively in their short passing game, screen game with the running backs, and Sony Michel wasn't even at the facility at all to partake in that. And if we talk about his biggest need is to get better in the pass game and be more of a threat there, yeah, when the team's working on those things and he's not able to participate, that would worry me. Now,
well, they'll work on that in practice, Brady.
But you can say managing his workload and all that, but at some point, a little bit of a doubt has to creep in. Why did they take a running back so high when you didn't think they needed one?
Right.
Why is he not participating in the preseason in the offseason programs? And you still have Burkhead, you still have White, now you have Harris. Do you need all those insurance policies on Sony Michel? I'm not worried yet, but it's certainly noteworthy.
One other note, did you see what Tom Brady said about N'Keal Harry? He said, don't get too hyped up about him, you know. Well, no, I know he's kind of giving, I'm kind of paraphrasing. He's like, you know, kind of like he's going to be a rookie. Don't get your hopes up too high for him. I'm like, why would he say that? Is there something, you know, that he didn't like that he saw in OTAs? I don't know why would he come up with a comment like that.
What was
it,
2 weeks ago? Everybody, it was panic in the streets in this building because Tom Brady wasn't reaching out to N'Keal Harry. It seems like they've basically been living together since we said that.
It was interesting also, he did give a little bit of did you see him give the explanation of why he wanted the Tom Terrific trademark? Did you hear that?
Yes, because he doesn't like it. He wants to get rid of it or something like that?
Exactly. Yes, he said he doesn't want other people to be able to use it. So that's why he tried to trademark it and got. I don't know if I buy it. It's a good way to save face. I don't know if it's true, but it's certainly a good way to save face.
You know, I was going to say my only thing on that is if he wants to take it from Tom Seaver, that's fine. But when he gets old, he's got to pass it on to some other guy named Tom that we're going to call Tom Terrific. All right. I was very offended that someone didn't like my last story standing. So I have like four or five of them. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
It's time for one last piece of news, gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful, it's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
Absolutely offended that nobody liked my last story standing yesterday. So we go with the classics today. We go with Jeopardy James is one of the stories. We know he had the run, 32-day champion, top 10 single game cash records. He accumulated 2.4 million, a little bit more than that, but who's counting? He was about $58,000 shy of catching 74-day champion Ken Jennings. Here's the problem, though. It's time to pay the tax, man. Even though he's a resident of Nevada, the game show took place in California, which means he's on the hook for taxes in the state, which actually happens to be the highest in the nation at 13.3%. So after that, and after the California taxes and then the federal withholding, he will get $1.29 million, which is a 47.6% tax.
Wow. What a country. Congratulations. You know, thanks for all, for half of it.
Well, that,
so it's literally half his winnings, almost.
47%.
Wow.
Well, what'd you think was going to happen, Rich? They were going to say, just keep the whole thing? That was pretty much it. Also, I want to get this one in real quick. Cops in Toronto have arrested a Raptors fan who went on live TV broadcast. They asked him a question, of course, after the game. You never know what the fans are going to say, and I'm not even going to insinuate. He just made a terrible comment about Steph Curry's wife on TV. Hmm. So now they're going to arrest him and try to get jail time for him. How about that?
And you got
to
be a little careful. I tweeted out, what did I say? Shoot the refs after the Bruins game on Twitter
you
last
did.
Night?
You I'm waiting. Texted
I was,
us.
I texted you guys. Okay, it wasn't on Twitter.
Now you've just broadcasted that immature moment to everyone.
I was half waiting for the cops at my front door at the condo last
night. I should have turned you in for crying out loud.
Well, that's what you get when you have a couple beers and say stupid things.
What do we got on this weekend?
Well, we've got the Red Sox at Tampa Bay. We'll head to Fenway Park in about 10 minutes. Yankees are at Cleveland tonight to face the Indians to start a 3-game set, 6:30. Pre-game on WVMT.
Tom Caron, by the way, our buddy. Yes. He'll be doing the 4 games for the Sox this weekend. Rick Porcello on the mound tonight. Rays will come in with their funky opener. I think Ryan Stanek is the guy getting the ball today. Then Yanni Chirinos, I believe, comes in after him.
Enjoy the sunshine.
Oh, it's going to be great. We got to thank Intern Colton.
Intern Colton.
That's the only intern we've had today. He did a great job.
He was here all day, though.
Great job.
He was here longer than the sales staff.
Yeah, well, much. Everybody's here longer than the sales staff. We got to go. Goodbye, everyone.